Test 1-2. Test 1-2.
Hey folks, can I have your attention? Folks, real quick. Thank you. Hey, we're gonna shut that screen down. If you guys want it, you're welcome to move in across there if you'd like, just to give you a little more room. Thanks.
All right. If we could just quiet down here a little bit. Sorry for the delay here getting started tonight. I'd like to welcome everybody here to the September meeting of the Committee of the Whole. Glad to see so many people out here tonight and getting close. All right, at this time, if you would please join me in a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the first thing on the item of tonight's agenda will be citizens' comments. And just a few things to make clear before we get into that. You must be a resident of this district to speak. We allow up to 5 minutes, and Justin, you'll be giving the time. You want to show what he'll give 4 minutes in, if you're, and then five when time to cut it off. Anyone that has filled out a card is eligible to speak in here tonight. If you fill out a card and do not wish to speak, you don't have to. That will make that clear. At this time, I'd like to read a statement from the board. Before we begin these public comments, it's become apparent that there's a lot of misinformation out there regarding the board during this difficult season. So I thought it would be good to make you all aware of our exact position. Along with many of you, we were extremely frustrated at the timing of the masking order from the Department of Health. If it wasn't clear when we created our health and safety plan, we as a board voted to leave the decision about masking students up to the parents. So like many of you, that is our desire. But the governing authorities have sent emails making it very clear the repercussions that would occur if we don't follow this order, regardless of its legality. Our administrators could have their certification affected, and we on board would lose our immunity, which means each of us could be sued for substantial amounts of money. So when you ask us to go against the order, you're not just asking us to be courageous, you're asking us to risk significant legal action that could affect our families and the district. Also, there's seems to be misunderstanding about what the role of the board actually is. We have heard from members of the community who say, we are only doing this for the money or personal gain, but we have nothing personally to gain from any of this. None of us get paid. We are volunteers, and most of us have full-time jobs. It's been a pleasure and honor to serve this community, and we are simply that, a part of the community. We are on the side of the community. We are you. And when you are frustrated, we are frustrated. And so while we are waiting for the courts to speak, we are hopeful that the decisions about what is best for our school community will be put back in the hands of the local governing bodies, and we are hopeful that we will hear a decision soon. All right, I'm going to start with the cards.
Mr. Wenzel, if I could just...
Oh, the long ones. Yes, go ahead, Dr. Halst.
Just in the interest of time, I know we have a lot of folks who want to speak, and we want to hear from them. Typically, we read all of the online comment submissions. I'm going to recommend that we just include those in the record verbatim, and then we can forego reading all of those statements because of time, if that's okay with the board. Again, nothing will be lost. All of those comments that are already written down would be a part of the record.
I would err on the side of being more. I agree we should read them off, Dr. Hollister. I understand your concerns, but I believe we should... have them. So, Justin, do you want to start with them? I mean, unless there's further disagreement from the board in that. All right, go ahead, Justin.
We have 12 comments that were submitted via our public online form. The first comment is submitted by Meredith Dahl at 435 Wending Lane, New Holland, PA, 17557. Dear board, thank you for your service to the community. Your volunteer time does not go unnoticed. I appreciate each of you. I would like to pray for the board and this meeting tonight. Dear God, I would like to lift up the Elanco School District this evening. We know you are here in this room. I ask for wisdom, guidance, and patience for each person who is here. We know that everyone is very passionate right now in our community. We ask for ways to come together. We seek unity. God, may there be wisdom for all on how to move forward together. Thank you for always being willing to hear us and for loving us. In your son's name, amen. The next comment is from Janice Maldonado at 2220 East Jackson Street, New Holland, PA, 17557. Unmask our kids. It's our right to make these decisions for our children and not the government or schools. We know what's best for them. It's our right. If parents are afraid of COVID and want to mask their kids to keep them safe, then that's their decision for their child and not trying to make every single child to do the same. We should then decision to not mask our kids as well. Third comment is from Emily Maldonado at 2 Lantern Lane, East Earl, 17519. no mask, especially except exemptions for people with disabilities, and don't let the school nurses be ignorant of a medical condition. Also, the district should bring back hot ham and cheese on a pretzel roll.
Well, that worked. I gotta keep a little humor in it. Yeah, that's good.
The fourth comment is from Randy Groff at 1275 North Church Street, Narbonne, PA, 17555. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Hannah and Adam Reimers, sorry, from 105 Winstock Way, New Holland, PA, 17557. Please do not require our kids to wear a face mask. We all need to be able to breathe fresh air and see each other's faces. Also, we need to realize that if you are forcing students to wear a mask, you will only lose many kids, and they will switch to cyber schools, and the cost will even more money. You should not accept whatever the governor or CDC says. Also, remember, we can choose to go against them. Yes, Wolf made a mandate, but it is not a law. The last email the school sent to parents with the COVID-19 statistics made me wonder why. Are you also going to send statistics of depression and suicide? Those numbers are sadly at record highs since COVID-19, mask wearing, and social distancing all started. So truly care about our children and let the parents do what is best for their children. Make mask wearing optional. Thank you. Randy Groff.
Just a minute, Justin. I just want to say that I was going to make this comment when we get to citizens' comment. I understand there's books will be passions for and against anything being said tonight. If you could just please your hold applause down, because a lot of times the speakers will continue to keep speaking, and we as a board and other residents cannot hear what they're being said. So I just want to say, go ahead, Justin.
Next comment is Randy Groff at 1275 North Church Street, Narbonne, PA, 17555. Why is a couple million dollars spent to renovate the high school locker rooms to accommodate a couple transgender students, but in-person learning is denied to students who don't want to wear a mask? You are now segregating children from each other that choose not to wear a medical device that is unnecessary just because they aren't following the rules. But yet, if a couple students don't like the bathrooms, you'll make the decision to change it up at taxpayers' expense to maybe avoid getting sued for discrimination. What about discrimination when it comes to students not wearing masks? Should the parents of those students threaten to sue? It all sounds a bit greedy to me. Bottom line, it is all about compliance and money, not safety. This virus has over a 98% survival rate for students. What's the real agenda here? Get back to what's most important, our children's education, and leave parents to make medical decisions for their children. Amen. The next comment is from Dan and Lindsay Heisig at 1126 Village Circle, Denver, PA, 17519. Members of the Elanco School Board, this letter is in reference to the 8-9 board meeting. Your abrupt vote on banning the BrainPop computer program was deeply disturbing. BrainPop, as you know, has a variety of videos that highlight the voices and shared experiences of the BI, POC, and the LGBT plus communities, as well as other marginal groups. While not explicitly verbalized in the meeting, it is obvious that what BrainPop content the board members and fringe groups in the district are referring to. Any contact referring to the Black Lives Matter movement and current or historical events that attempt to give equal representation to Black voices and Black perspective. As I listened to the minutes of the board meeting, you all agreed that with what you believe to have been a legitimate reasons to censor and ultimately ban this specific program. I will tell you, you are not fooling anyone. Your action to censor this particular content is thinly veiled racism. Your narratives of being concerned that the content was too heavy or that children aren't equipped to handle these topics on their own are originating from your own personal biases. Perhaps some of these concerns are coming from parents, in which case I suspect is really the parents' projections rather than actual observations. You also posted it that BrainPop is presenting concepts on a collegiate level because you saw parallels to critical race theory. That is ridiculous. If you are truly concerned with how the nature of material affected children, you would have consulted the only qualified people in the room, your superintendent and assistant superintendent. When the motion was opened up for discussion, they could have provided you with the studied academic input as to the way children learn and interpret information based on their age and academic level. Furthermore, when you concluded that BrainPop content was not appropriate, you prioritized the needs of white children over the needs of children of color because the children of color deal with racism every day,
even in your own Elanco school district. Let him continue.
If you disagree or can't comprehend the statement that you are prioritizing the needs of white children, perhaps as an all-white board of the directors, you were robbed of this type of education in school too. Consequently, in lack of social awareness, you violated your own resolution supporting the development of an anti-racist school climate signed and dated July 20th, 2020. Please review the attachment of the resolution in full text. Children must be given the context, language, and tools to ask questions and hold conversations about race and racism. You intentionally block that from happening. BrainPop has an excellent content for children to help them understand the realities of the world they live in. My question is to you, why does this content offend you? It is our sincere hope that all of you will reflect on your actions and seek to fulfill the resolution that brought forth as written. We hope you will broaden your worldview by listening and learning from black voices. A good start would be to read an assortment of books written by some excellent black authors. And she lists several books there. We request that members of the board either reinstate all BrainPop content or develop another supplemental learning program to replace what children of Elanco are being deprived of. We request that members of the board consult those with a higher degree of education on issues relating children's development and academic needs. We request that members of the board enroll in diversity, inclusivity, and anti-racist training. Most importantly, we request that the Elanco board members seek to engage with a diverse group of individuals to better understand the needs of the entire community you represent. Lastly, we would like to end with a quote from BrainPop. At BrainPop, we believe the emotional and physical health of all children is paramount, and representation makes a real impact. When kids see successful, positive role models whose experiences reflect their own, they feel less isolated and more hopeful about the future. And when kids encounter people whose experiences differ from themselves, it expands their worldview and deepens their empathy. We couldn't agree more. The next comment is from Valerie McDowell.
Mr. President. Tom, can I interrupt for 1 second? I'm sorry. Should there be a time limit on the...
I was just thinking at the time, well, at the time, that too. usually the online comments aren't that long.
I know.
Maybe they type like I do usually, but you'll time it. Oh, thanks, Gary. Good point, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of the topic.
That's
or
correct.
The
yes, it
comment.
Should be equal for both sides. I mean, both
thank
programs.
You. Thank you, Mr. Buck. My family and I moved to this area in December 2019 from right outside Philadelphia. We were so happy to be living in a more conservative area where our views would be more aligned with our surrounding community. We're especially glad to be here when COVID hit, as our old school district did not have in-person learning at all last year. We love the area and the school and would hate to have to leave and find a different option. We were so pleased with the optional mask wearing as they have been proven not to work and are a hindrance to our children properly learning. I have heard so many stories about kids going to the emergency room, having mental breakdowns, etc., from the mask. If kids play a sport or wait 2 weeks or go anywhere else in public without a mask, surely they can sit in the classroom with other children without a mask. There are other districts in PA and around the country that are looking out for the students' best interests and letting the parents choose what is best for their own child. I pray that we will become one of them, for the virus has killed less than 1% of the 1% of the people who had it. We take our chances with that rather than the vaccine. As far as the vaccine goes, if our schools are the ones that start vaccinating our kids without parents' permission, my kids will never see the inside of another Garden Spot school. That is beyond anything I can imagine. Nobody knows what the long-term effects of these vaccines can be, and I am certainly not going to have my child be a test subject. Please do what is right. Please be the voice of our children. You do have a choice. You do have the right to say no. A mandate is not a law. Don't think about the money. Think about our future, our children's future, your future leaders. They need to be educated and healthy and alive in order to lead. They need to be see good examples of people standing up for what is right, standing against people who are trying to change the very core of our country. Please be those examples now when we need you the most. Thank you. The next comment is from Amando Colodonato at 2304 Laurel Top Circle, Narvon, PA, 17555. I'd like to start off by thanking the school board members and the community for the opportunity to share my concerns. First, I'd like to ask, has anyone here making decisions for our children consider asking how our children feel? Has the school district, Governor Wolf, or the Secretary of Health personally talked to our children? At this point, parents are the only people advocating for these children. Many of our children express that they cannot breathe in masks. Has anyone thought to consider why? In case you didn't know, our fresh country air isn't so fresh. Per the American Lung Association, Lancaster County consistently has some of the worst air quality in our nation. The more polluted air pollution that you're exposed to, the more damaged your lungs become. Our children have been exposed to this every day of their lives. If they say they can't breathe in the mask, they can't breathe. We have environmental factors in Lancaster County that most other areas in Pennsylvania do not have to consider. Parents are ridiculed when they state that masks exacerbate their child's mental health conditions. Why do masks exacerbate mental health conditions? I don't know the answer, nor do the experts. Yet the conclusive data on that, but certainly is real. Why is no one listening to our children and taking their mental health concerns seriously? I am most concerned with Eastern Lancaster County's district's universal face covering order exemption request consent to disclose records form, asking for access to our child's medical history, verbal or written, to prove a medical condition for a mask exemption is a violation of medical privacy. When I expressed concern, I was told that the school nurses have always had privileges to child's medical information without parents' authorization. While this is true, it is a privilege that exists solely to provide care for students and assist the school nurse to administer the student's medication while at school. The district attempting to normalize the use of this privilege as a routine procedure is alarming per pa.health.gov. There has been concern from healthcare professionals in providing information to schools without parent guardian permission. The school nurse and physician relationship exists for the school nurse to assist in the care for the child, for the student, not the nurse to make medical decisions for the student. To further complicate matters, LGH Penn Medicine has stated they are not making or considering exemptions regardless of medical condition. Numerous medical practices in the area have made similar statements. LGH New Holland, which a large amount of our district uses as a family practice, has stated they will not be making recommendations to a school nurse. If our community health care providers won't consider any medical exemptions, nor will they make any recommendations, it becomes solely the school nurse's responsibility to make a medical decision for a student. The current mask order states an exception. If wearing a mask face covering would either cause a medical condition or exacerbate an existing one, including respiratory issues that impede breathing, a medical health condition, or a disability. In that case, a student's medical condition is exacerbated by wearing a mask, but the school nurse made a decision that this child would not be considered exempt. Who is held liable? I implore other concerned parents to seek that answer. I also would like to note, nowhere on the order does it say a physician's exemption or signature required. It is recommended that any exception be in accordance with the eligibility under Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act or IDEA. The process to acquire a simple mask exemption has become so overly complicated it is nearly impossible. It shouldn't be this hard to keep our kids in school. At this point, it feels discriminatory of a child with a medical condition. I'd like to end by mentioning this. Our teachers have one of the strongest unions in the state to defend them, a union that spent more than $1 million in support of Governor Wolf and his 2018 reelection. Why do we have taking a stand and defending our children's best interest? The next comment is from Michelle Bureau at 345 Orchard Road, Montana, or I always pronounce that wrong, I apologize, 19540. Thank you to the board for your service to the community. You are in a tough spot, and I acknowledge that as we all are doing this during this difficult times, one thing we can find common ground is our love for our children and wanting what's best for them. Those who know me well know that I do not like conflict, but recently feel like it is time to take a stand. I do so respectfully and wish I could be there in person, but I'm currently at one of my kiddos' sporting events here on campus. I am very happy with the board's decision on the mask issue at the beginning of the school to keep it optional. I personally feel like it is a win-win for both sides regarding the mask issue, and I strongly disagree with the statement that those who do not choose to wear them are not caring or loving towards others. That statement is manipulative and controlling. However, due to the recent change by the governor, we are up against this again. In school, we teach bullying of any kind would not be tolerated, but it seems like bullying at a different level is already happening. When do our school leaders stand up and say enough is enough? Our district does not support a mask mandate. When do you help us by representing what we want? No one wants our children to be sick and see them hurting, but sickness doesn't only come in the form of COVID. It also comes in the form of mental health issues. Our children are suffering. Which one do we want to sacrifice for the other? I say neither. Let our children be children, and let the parents make the choice of what's best for our families. Let's do life together out of respect for each other. I support a no mask mandate. Thank you. And the next comment is from Lisa Heckman at East Earl Township, New Holland, PA, 17557. We were so excited for a new school year after a normal summer for our family. We were maskless and enjoying life while staying healthy. Optional masks was simply the best direction to go. You wear one if you want. You don't wear one if you don't want to. Your choice, end of story. We do not parent the governor. We do not parent with Governor Wolf. We do not parent by getting a doctor's signature with an exemption form approving or not approving what is best for our child. How does that even make sense? Think about it. Long-term effects will not show up in the doctor's file right now. Wearing masks day after day, week after week, month after month, and now year after year. It is quite frightening to imagine what our precious children have gone through and will continue to go through if this does not stop now. We simply know what is best for our children. We know what will come next if we let this major problem roll out of our hands. Vaccines will be the next things they force on our children. We do not need your help protecting our sweet children from COVID, but we do need your help and courage protecting our children from Wolf administration. Our bodies are made to fight off virus instead of relying on a mask. We want our children to stay in Elanco, so are we believing in, we are believing in Dr. Hollister and the school board and directing and listening to each family in our community. The state has no recourse, a punishment for the district if you, Elanco, do not accept the mask directive. The state absolutely has no power to discipline a district for noncompliance of the mask directive. Thank you for listening. The next comment is from Sean Reese at 348 East Main Street, New Holland, PA, 17557. I am unable to attend tonight's meeting because it is my daughter's birthday, but I wanted to briefly address two topics. First, I wanted to let the board know what an amazing job the Elanco teachers have been doing to the start of the school year. I was able to meet some of my children's teachers at New Holland's Popsicles in the Park event in August, as well at the New Holland Back to School Night last Thursday, and was so impressed by the jobs they are doing. We are so fortunate to have such dedicated teaching staff in our district. Second, I saw in the LNP on Friday that Elanco had one of the highest number of COVID cases in the county last week above all the other school districts. I'm concerned that optional quarantining and a large number of families seeking mask exemptions could be driving this. I encourage the board to consider strengthening the health and safety plan to prevent future outbreaks. The next comment is from Jeff and Amanda Lehman at 1302 Martin Street, East Earl, PA, 17519. Good evening. First, I would like to thank you to all the board members for serving the Elanco community. I am sure this has been a rough couple of years, and no one thought we would be dealing with the current issues going on today. I am not able to be at the meeting tonight, but do want to express our concerns on the requirement of masks for our students. As a family, we strongly believe that masks do not protect our children from getting COVID or spreading to others. Unfortunately, the media is trying to scare us into believing that they do. Look at how often children touch their face to adjust their mask, itch their nose, etc. They're more likely more likely touching their face more often with a mask on than without one. Masks dehumanize us and erase our unique identities. They serve as a constant reminder that we should be afraid. They have become a cruel device on children everywhere, young children covered by masks, struggling to understand social expressions of their peers. To me, this is extremely sad. Children need to see their teachers, peers smile and laugh, to know that their teacher is proud of them. A smile can change a person's day, especially a child when they don't know what they may be facing when they leave the classroom. Face coverings cause harm to the American psyche. They provide little to no medical benefit. Please let me be clear. I am not criticizing anyone who would like to wear a mask. It should be totally optional choice. We have relayed this to our children as well. This is a free country, and that is one of the reasons we are so fortunate to live in the USA. But pushing a mandate like this on our children is unacceptable. We will continue to pray for guidance for all the people having to make the decisions on this mandate. The next comment is from Karen Souter at 443 Linden Road, East Earl, PA 17519. Dear school board members, Dr. Hollister and Dr. Larkin, thank you for your continued service through this difficult pandemic and the many decisions that you continue to face daily. I have three children at Blue Ball Elementary School and also serve as a nurse practitioner in the local community. I want to commend you for the hard work since this pandemic has started and for the mitigation strategies that you have employed last school year that allowed our children to remain in school in person while many others were not so lucky. Those strategies were very effective in allowing our community to continue to retain a sense of normalcy through a challenging time. During all of this, the virus has hit highs and lows, but we are again incurring a surge in cases, which the much more contagious Delta variant of COVID-19. Therefore, while we continue to desire in-person learning, the same strategies that we employed previously will be necessary to allow us to successfully remain in school. Universal mask wearing, social distancing, and frequent hand washing are all basic, simple strategies that are not harmful to children, but will allow them the benefits of remaining in school. It has already become evident with Elanco's initial safety plan, COVID started to spread. And once the mask mandate was announced, a grace period was offered to students and parents to allow time to procure appropriate exemptions. Since you may not bear witness to the effects of the grace period, I wanted to ensure you that you are aware that the grace period has essentially meant that masks continue to be optional until exemptions are due at the end of this week. Therefore, we can expect cases to continue to rise given minimal mitigation strategies. Even more disappointing is hearing from the students in the community that my teacher doesn't wear a mask, so why should I? I can't adequately express my disappointment with such behavior. While I know there are many teachers that have set an excellent example with routine masking, we need all of our teachers and leaders to be role models in this effort and show our students that we care for their well-being. Furthermore, I understand that many will make claims that children are not dying from this virus. First, that is an exceptionally low bar to set, and I truly hope we all aim higher. And second, that is actually incorrect, but apparently not a high rate enough to alarm some. For those that might feel that way, I must ask you to look outside of you and your child's personal needs and consider the teacher who has asthma or the custodian who has multiple, I'm not going to pronounce that one, over the age 65, and even the MDS student with the compromised immune system. We need to employ universal masking to protect all the members of our school community. The effects of our choices are far-reaching. It is no secret that substitute teachers have become scarce in the past year, creating many challenges for classrooms to remain adequately managed through the pandemic. Based on the survey data done at the start of the school year, indications were clear that staff preferred masking within the schools. Therefore, if mitigation strategies continue to be insufficient, you may find teachers will find employment in districts that offer a safer environment. I understand that you'll be urged to continue to allow masks to be optional. The following are six realities that need to be considered as you make these decisions for this school year. Children under 12 are not approved for the COVID vaccine yet, so they are susceptible to COVID and all the impacts that come with an infection, including multiple symptom inflammatory syndrome and long COVID. The number of children who are eligible to receive COVID vaccine who have received one is well below the threshold to prevent the spread in schools. The Delta variant, the most contagious strain of COVID yet, is the most common in the United States and will pose a significant threat to students and staff, as without preventative strategies, Delta will move very efficiently through schools and cause illness, school closures, and death. Other respiratory viruses with similar symptoms to COVID have emerged this summer, and once they enter school, they will exacerbate problems created by COVID and further disrupt education. If masking is left to individual choice, it is likely that if masking is not a firm expectation of schools, even children who intend to wear a mask will not do so and will undoubtedly cause negative psychological impacts for those who are and are not wearing masks, like bullying and other types of harassment. And children with COVID can pass it to a family member who may be more susceptible to severe illness causing hospitalization and death. And with the Delta variant, more children are in need of hospitalization as well. Lastly, I want to leave you with some words from Paul Offit, director of the Vaccine Education Center at CHOP, an internationally recognized expert in the fields of virology and immunology. With respect to children, parents do not have carte blanche. At one time, children were the property of their fathers, but this is no longer the case. Thank you.
Let's keep it down.
Mr. President, that ends all the comments that were submitted online.
Thank you, Justin. Take a swig of water. All right. Like I said, I'm going to read off the first name. Those that have attended our meetings know I do butcher names in here sometimes, so feel free to correct me when I read your name off. Come forward to the microphone. Speak clearly into it. Give your name and address, and you have up to 5 minutes. The first person is Jennifer Rosardo.
Hello, everyone. Allow me to start by saying this is America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. At least it is supposed to be. The land of the free part seems to be at stake since March of 2020, but you do have one brave mother and plenty more brave parents standing behind me and beside me on this matter. My name is Jennifer Jarvis Rosado. I live in East Earl Township in Terry Hill, PA. I am the sole legal custodial parent to a second grader at Blue Ball Elementary. My child has autism, sensory processing disorder, and other medicals I do not wish to disclose. He has an IEP, GIEP, and 504 plan. His special needs prohibits him from wearing a mask. Aside from his special needs, mandating mask wearing is not aligned with our belief or our research. It should not take a medical diagnosis or a doctor's exemption for our decisions as free citizens that pay taxes in this school district to excuse our children from being put in compromising situations to their health and education over a medical device that has been proven to not prevent COVID-19, but yet you expect us to put our children in danger of multiple health conditions, which include hypoxia, which is a deficiency in the amount of oxygen reaching the tissues, which mask wearing can cause, syncope, which is temporary loss of consciousness caused by a fall in blood pressure, caused by lack of proper amount of oxygen, increased intake of CO2, which causes severe illness, infection, and trauma, unhealthy bacteria re-entering the bodies due to prolonged periods of mask wearing, the mental anguish our children with or without disabilities face due to being expected to wear a mask or be singled out and isolated because they're a risk to those that are wearing a mask. Ask any health professional if those risks outweigh the 99% survival rate that children who get COVID have. Health and educational decisions are the responsibility of the parents and the parents alone. Do not take that away from us. Whether there is a medical diagnosis preventing our children from wearing a mask or it simply just does not align with our beliefs, please allow us to make the proper decision ourselves without the need for a piece of paper from a doctor, having to disclose private medical records, or jumping through any kind of hoops to raise our children how we see fit. I am not asking you to abolish mask wearing. I am asking you to allow those of us who do not want to comply with the order to be able to do so without issue. Everyone is entitled to make their own choices, so please do not assist the government in taking those liberties away from us that choose not to be herded like sheep. Please do not mandate us to deprive our children of the oxygen they need, exacerbate respiratory conditions, breed new mental health issues. For those of you that wish to mask your children, that is your choice or their choice. Please allow us to have ours to be without masks. Also, it has come to my attention that COVID testing inside the schools will be happening. Under no circumstances am I giving permission to do a COVID swab on my child. The solution on the end of the swab, ethylene oxide, is a well-known carcinogen. How can you even begin to consider exposing our children to these monstrosities? All of us parents that you see here will never give permission for any of this domestic terrorism on our freedom. Whether you're on this side of the fence or that side of the fence, at least allow us parents to make our own choices about our children like we've been doing since they were born. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. The next one, Caitlin Wulin. Did I get it right?
No.
Oh, well, correct me. I'm followed by Nikki Shirk. I'm pretty sure I have that one right.
Is this okay? Okay. Let me start off by saying, did anybody catch the Penn State game this weekend? Yeah?
Yes, we did.
You know how many people were there? 105,000 people. How many of them were wearing masks?
None.
How many of them were social distancing?
None.
How often do you think they were able to wash their hands?
None.
And do you honestly believe they were all vaccinated?
No.
I had initially planned a lengthy speech opposing the mandates, citing science, or lack thereof. And then I turned on the game, and for the first time it really hit me that there's no other way to rationalize this than it is about control.
Yeah.
The state has realized that they cannot mandate masks for major sporting events or in private businesses because people are done. They're not going to comply. So they put this on our children because they know how bad parents want them to be in schools. And they can dangle funding over the administration's head. But ask yourself this. At what point in our history has the health of an entire society been placed upon the backs of our children? And how can we stand by today and let that continue to happen? I'm not against masks. I understand that there's a need for them. I get it. What I am against is forcing kids to wear them every single day, knowing that risks do exist. There's science that says this. Just so that Dr. What's-His-Name can go to a football game with his family and feel protected. I understand that this is a really hard decision for all of you, and I get that. And last week when I emailed you and I said that us parents, we have your back, this is what I meant. I can't speak for anybody else here today, but I promise you that if you are willing to fight, I am willing myself to go into that battle with you. As long as it takes and whatever it takes.
All right, Nikki, followed by Janella Musselman.
Hi, for those of you who don't know me, I am a parent in the district. I am also an Elanco employee. I am here to tell you that you having your school nurses oversee our child's medical exemption, or however you want to say it, is ridiculous. I'm going to tell you what happened the last time I opened my child's medical records to your school district. A couple years ago, when my son was born, he was born partially deaf. I fought a lot for my son. Your school nurse threatened to call Children and Youth on me and get me deemed as an unfit parent because they didn't agree with my treatment course for my child. That is not your decision. That's not her decision. That's my decision as his mother. I am appalled at what I am hearing. I will never sign your exemption. I will never open myself or my child or my other children up to that fear and heartbreak and horror that I had to hear. Another thing, I work in an elementary school every day with these kids. The difference from this year and last year, worlds apart.
Amen.
Kids are happy. They're playing together. Together. Not 6 feet social distancing. Not knowing who their friends are. Not being able to see their faces. Or being afraid. I had a current school nurse tell me to my face they weren't upset last year. You come on out of your office and you come see. It's very easy to throw glass stones in glass houses. These nurses have no idea what these kids are doing day in and day out. They sit in their office and see them for 2 minutes to put on a Band-Aid or give them an ice pack. I'm a mom. Every day when I walk into that school, Mrs. Shirk, Mrs. Shirk, I get hugs from happy kids. Not kids with stuff on their face. Happy kids. Let them be kids. And let us as parents decide for our children.
Musselman.
I'm sorry, I realize I am out of order in this. This fine gentleman let me know that the board refused me grounds to speak on the basis of my residency, according to their policy, which I've just completely read through and through, and it says resident and taxpayer. So I'm not going to interrupt the order, but I do request that the board abide by its own policies, reinstate my name into the list of people to speak, and allow me to speak when my turn comes.
Yeah.
And I give my word to the board that I will be more respectful and professional than they have been so far.
I'm sorry. How have we been disrespectful so far? I apologize.
It wasn't, I'm sure, intentional, but you can understand as a father, I'm a little defensive about my son. He attends Blue Ball Elementary's MDS program. He's nonverbal, so the need for me to speak on his behalf is actually a little accelerated over an average parent. And as he does attend the district, my taxes do go to this district. And according to the board policy, resident and taxpayer is required by law to be able to speak at a board meeting.
I'm sorry, sir, but it's always been if they're not a taxpayer person living physically within this district, you are not allowed to speak. We'll dismiss this meeting for a temporary if this is not understood.
Sir, I don't mean to cause disruption. And if you want to provide me with a signed affidavit that you've refused me my legal right to speak as a taxpayer, my taxes go to this district with my son who attends here. If you would like to do that, I will remove myself.
What? Just hold on a minute here. Dr. Hollister, can you call Jeff Litz and see if he's what he is doing? Can we, we'll put you off. We'll put you off.
There's I make a motion for a recess.
I tend to speak.
All right. Just hold on a minute.
Pardon, sir?
Any taxpayer resident? All right, I'll
Just a minute. Me too.
You review it. All right, we're good. Mr. Conroy is good to review it, and we will continue on. There's quite a few names to go here yet. I apologize for being a little angry, but it's not anything personal. It's just that that's the way I always operated under the way I understood it. It's not saying it was correct, so we're good to review it. I hope you accept my apology. And, Mr., if you accept my apology, I hope.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. 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 Ye
motioner has to rescind it.
All right, just hold on. Little housekeeping here. We have a motion on the floor. Jackie, would you like to continue with that motion, or would you like to withdraw it for right now?
We'll withdraw it.
All right, thank you. All right, now we're good, I think. All right.
Good evening,
everyone. Michelle Zook will follow you, by the way.
My name is Janelle Musselman. I live on State Street in New Holland, PA, and I just want to take a moment. I know it is a passion-filled room, and I just want to say I appreciate all of you up here and everything you have done through your term on the school board. And I do want to start off on a positive note of thanking you all for your efforts and your time and the decisions and everything going through for the new basketball court, the new lighting. The field looks amazing. Wonderful update out there to the sports facilities for tennis and for the stadium field and track. So thank you for all your time and effort in those changes. I'm also obviously here to address the heavy and daunting mask mandate that is currently being discussed. And there's a lot of large words being thrown around in these discussions that are scaring a lot of people and are very intimidating. But there's also a lot of small words: could, should, may. So I ask you, as you're looking into the best way to serve the community, and you guys have done an exceptional job listening to the community before school started, where majority of us stood against masks, and I appreciate you guys starting off the school year and allowing that to be optional and what each family felt was best for their family. And I'm, you know, repeating a lot of what's being said tonight, but I just want to bring an option to the table. I know you're looking into everything out there, I'm sure, but I read an article today about exceptions and other solicitors for other schools in Pennsylvania advising their school boards that doctors do not need to sign off on a mask exemption request, and the district would not have to evaluate a child for a disability just because a parent claims a medical or mental health condition preventing mask wearing. Instead, these solicitors are advising that parents could waive the evaluation form, but in addition, also sign a form agreeing not to sue the district, which is what, you know, when money gets involved, it becomes very scary when those things are said if you do not comply. So I'm just bringing that to the table, and hopefully that is an avenue that can be explored deeply and, you know, hopefully will work, because, like I said, you guys did a great job listening to our community. And as someone else had stated before this evening, I am not asking for you to not allow children to come to school with masks, but also understand that if a family does not feel comfortable sending them, because there are exemptions and there are children coming without masks to our district, they also have the option of enrolling their child in the IPR or Elanco online. That it's not, it shouldn't be because my child is better off without the mask and I'm not afraid of them building immunities to a virus, that if they don't feel comfortable with that, they can absolutely do the online option for their student as well. And if they're comfortable with a mask, I also teach my children to each their own on every subject, on every opinion. So I'm just asking you to take a look into that and see if that would be an option to keep it suitable for both sides of this. I know it's very difficult, so I thank you again for your time.
All right, thank you.
Excuse me, do you have a list of those solicitors? Do you have a list of the solicitors that are you spoke about?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a list of, or do you have the names of those solicitors?
It was Quakertown School Board.
Well, no, I meant the lawyers that are saying that.
I can go back to the article and see if it disclosed that. I can
thank
send
you.
It to you. Yeah?
All right, Michelle, followed by Vicki Fryer.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Zook. I live here in New Holland. I have a master's degree in education, but decided to stay home and raise my babies. My babies are now 14 and 15, and they attend here at Elanco High School. Salami tactics. This is the idea that if you want to reach a certain objective but are afraid of a strong backlash, you should go about it one little slice at a time. No single act will be in itself such that it leads to a big confrontation, but in the end, you will have sliced the entire salami anyway. I cannot speak for all families, but I'm going to say that I believe many here tonight are probably similar to mine. This summer, we flew to Florida for vacation and stayed in a hotel. We sat next to strangers at full restaurants. We attended an out-of-state wedding. We went to crowded amusement parks where we waited next to others in tight corrals. My daughter attended her first concert with her dad. We spent time with family and friends, and my kids hung out with their friends and their families. And we did almost all of this without a mask. They wouldn't let us on the airplane without one. Also, probably like many here tonight, I too had COVID. Allergy-like symptoms, and really would have thought nothing of it since it was springtime until I lost my sense of smell. And I think I know where I picked it up, as I later learned that I had sat next to someone at an indoor event for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes or so, who had tested positive. We were both in a mask the entire time. You asked us, the taxpayers, the parents of these children, what we wanted. And of those that responded, an overwhelming majority wanted masks to be optional, and you listened. We do thank you for that. We now know, though, that the acting health secretary issued a mask mandate for all of our children while they are in school. In response, the Lancaster County's DA office stated its guidance to law enforcement remains the same as it was during the previous mask order, in which it will not prosecute any citations for alleged criminal violations of the governor's order. And a few days later, on September 10th, the Sheriff's Office of Lancaster County also issued a statement. I'll share just a bit of it here. The Department of Health order attempts to draw its power from PA Code Title 28, Chapter 27, Communicable and Non-Communicable Diseases. However, this chapter deals with the reporting duties of numerous healthcare providers of an outbreak of various communicable diseases, such as AIDS and tuberculosis. It does not mention nor encompass at this time COVID-19. It does not give the DOH the ability to issue orders to non-infected persons for infections or outbreaks that have not yet occurred. In short, the governor and the DOH cannot utilize this to order a non-infected child to wear a mask on the chance that the child may or could be infected in the future. Now, this is still coming from the sheriff's office. I completely and fully agree that the issuing of the so-called order is beyond the constitutional parameters of the governor's power and those of the DOH. As such, it is my position as sheriff of Lancaster County that the school mask order is not law, not a valid order, and it cannot be legally enforced. Accordingly, my office will not enforce this order in any manner. And it is signed the Sheriff Chris Lepler. What I find most concerning with this recent mandate is that there's no end date listed, no requirements for it to be lifted. Now, remember those salami tactics? Recently, Los Angeles became the first major school district in the U.S. to require COVID-19 vaccinations for all students ages 12 and up. In my research, I have yet to see any long-term studies on potential effects on fertility. I strongly feel if we don't fight these mandates now, we all know what may lie ahead. Just look at what is happening to the people in Australia. All Americans should be deeply concerned with the lack of checks and balances that our forefathers had the insight to install into the forming of our great country. Today, we have our state leader usurping his authority onto you, our local leaders, and then we have our leader at the federal level overstepping and issuing a vaccine mandate onto millions in the private sector. However, it does not apply to members of Congress, employees who work for Congress, or the federal court system, according to the press secretary. Our current government, with the help of other organizations, including the media, is selling us fear so they can become our savior. This is not about our health. This is about forcing us into compliance. Some may choose to say, quote unquote, safe with masks or mandates or those little circles on the floor showing you where to stand.
I'm going to have to cut you off.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for what you have. All right, we have Vicki, followed by Joyce King.
Hello, my name is Vicki Fryer. I come before the board this evening not only as a concerned mother with four children in the school district, but as a concerned nurse. What you, the superintendent, and this board are doing to our children is despicable, and we, the people, the parents and loved ones, will not tolerate this any longer. Masks are not effective in stopping the spread of COVID-19. There have been multiple studies done from the NIH and other institutes to support that. Not only are they not effective, there have been dozens of reported adverse health effects. Some reactions are, but are not limited to, hypoxia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, fear, fatigue, headaches, anxiety, depression, and so much more. Under the PA Child Protective Service Law and in your own policies, the definition of child abuse is interfering with the breathing of a child. The FDA defines a medical device as an instrument, apparatus, implement, machine, contrivance, implant, and in vitro reagent, or a similar or related article, including a component part or an accessory which is intended for the use in the diagnosis of a disease or other condition, or in the cure, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease in man or other animals. So are you forcing my child to wear a medical device that you have not obtained a written and signed consent for? Clearly, this board lacks medical knowledge, so let me enlighten you. Informed consent is defined as the patient's choice to have a treatment or procedure which is based on their full understanding of the treatment or procedure, its benefits, its risk, and its autonomic and self-determination to accept or reject all treatments and interventions. Did I miss that concept? And on PowerSchool? Is there a list of adverse reactions from wearing a mask? Where on your website does it state my constitutional rights to say no? In your statement to the parents on the face covering exemption request and disclosure of record, you state, following receipt of the district form, the building certified school nurse will review your child Elanco's health records and contact the identified physician. Parents will be contacted with the exemption eligibility determination. What are you implying? Are you stating that a school nurse has the authority to override, overturn, or flat out to refuse a physician's written order? Because if so, not only does that break the sacred bond between a nurse and a physician, it also violates ANA, AMA, WMA code of ethics. Just to name a few, non-maleficence code of ethics is a nurse can do no harm, either intentionally or unintentionally. How about autonomy and patient self-determination, which states the nurse accepts the patient as a unique person who has the innate right to have their own opinions, perspectives, values, and beliefs. Nurses are encouraged their patients to make their own decisions without judgment or coercion from the nurse, and that the patient has the right to reject or accept all treatments. Yes, this code of ethics is taught to us, and we nurses live and practice them every day. But let me enlighten you on something else. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Department of State Bureau of Professional and Occupational Affairs for State Board Nursing Law and Regulations state, the board has the right to establish rules and regulations for the practicing of nursing, and they may impose disciplinary sanctions and assess civil penalties for cause. The PADOS clearly states that a nurse may not knowingly aid, abate, or assist another person to violate or circumvent a board law regulation. Nurses may not discriminate while nurses may not discriminate while providing nursing services on the basis of age, marital status, sex, sexual preference, race, religion, diagnosis, socioeconomic disability. Nurses may not know. Nurses may not knowingly abandon a patient in their time of need. Abandonment is defined as the intentional deserting of a patient for whom the nurse is responsible for. I vow to you today, the members of this board and the family that stand behind me, if any certified school nurse overrides, overturns, or flat out refuses to follow any physician's written order, I will report them directly to the PA State Board of Nursing and have their license revoked to ensure they will never practice nursing in the USA. Furthermore, no respected MD or DO who would like to continue to practice medicine would ever sign that poor of excuse of a release form. If they willingly sign that document, themselves, the practice they work in, and any affiliations would and could be held liable for any and all forms of malpractice and gross HIPAA violations. So please tell me where I'm supposed to go to have this form filled out, because I have yet to find an MD that will sign this garbage. Let's not forget the board members are here to do two things: protect our children and educate them. This is a school, not a hospital, medical center, or a healthcare facility. Why are you getting involved in anything that would jeopardize our children's health and safety when you clearly do not understand the code of ethics or the standard of nursing practices? You are a school board. Stay in your lane and stay out of the medical field. These are our children. It must be emphasized that children are not wards of the state, but rather gifts of God's to parents. As such, parents and not the state will have final jurisdiction over our children.
You're fine. Joyce King, followed by Andy Tibbins.
Good evening. First off, I just want to take a quick second and pray. And Father, we honor you, and we yield to your Holy Spirit in this place, Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to stand for truth and for righteousness. In a time of great turmoil in this world, Lord, I ask that you bless every member of this board and every person in attendance, and I break off any spirit of heaviness, the spirit of fear, or a veil of deceit, and I humbly submit to your loving presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, my name is Joyce King. I have a 7-year-old in second grade at Brecknock, and I have 2-year-old triplets that will be following in Big Brother's footsteps in a couple of years. But not if this continues the way it is going. The world we live in is in trouble. And when Corona first hit, we came together on the advice of experts to curb the spike: masks, social distancing, and fear. As time has gone on, many, if not most of the people now see that something is not quite right. Numbers are inflated. It's irrational fear that's continued to be spread, and our current government is using that to increasingly overreach their power. It's us versus them now. We're all American citizens. At least that's what they want you to believe. For the record, I do not think you are any less than me if you decide a mask or a vaccine is additional protection for you. Stick to your conviction, and I bless you in it. Go for it. But I think it is clear that the narrative that has been pushed over the last 1.5 years is crumbling. And so they're increasing the pressure. We see that they're trying to do that, and I won't participate in the breakdown of this nation. And now they're coming after our kids, because if you want to get to the parent, you have to go through the child, right? Before you label me right wing or whatever, note the accent. I am an immigrant to this country, and I've just recently become a U.S. citizen. I was raised in socialism, and I see this battle playing out not only in this country, but in other nations. And most citizens there do not have a leg to stand on. We do. So my question to the board is simply this: you have said you must comply with Wolf on this weak mandate that is full of holes. There's a lot of things we've heard tonight already that just, it doesn't make any sense. Where's the common sense with this? It's a huge red flag. We all know what's coming, right? Vaccine mandates. And if you think it's going to stop with the vaccine, you are sorely mistaken. They will not stop until they have full compliance. So I shudder to think what else is going to come down the pipelines. So we must stop this now while we still can. And you speak of severe repercussions for you personally if you do not comply with them and their mandates. And I'm very sorry that you are under this immense pressure, and I appreciate you taking a stand for us and for our children if you decide to do so. But if you are not willing to stand against this unprecedented power grab in this nation that they're taking step by step, like the other ladies very eloquently said, then maybe you should step aside and let people that are willing to take the risk take that risk.
No, thank you. Here is Andy Tibbins, followed by Tony Bellina.
find 9 leaders in this room. I'm sure of it.
Will you please keep it quiet?
Or my name's Andy Tibbins. Live on 113 West Broad Street, New Ulm, PA. And I will say, as we are as frustrated as we all are, this group has done many, many good things over the last 2 years and are in a really shitty spot that nobody wants to be in. So let's not attack them. We're here because we all want our rights, correct?
Yeah.
Right? That's why we live in this great country. And to me, this is about if my son, I'm telling you right now, my kids ain't coming to school wearing masks. So if you're going to deny my children, and I'm not speaking to this board because I know where they stand, I'm speaking to you. If you're going to deny my children education because they're not wearing a mask, my ass is going to be standing at that school. And you're going to have to deal with me directly.
Because
I will tell you, right now, we talk about COVID and masks. I talked about this the last time I spoke here. When do we talk about the mental health of our children?
Yes.
People that struggle with, the suicide rate is far higher than COVID will ever be in children.
Yes.
I have a son that struggles with anxiety. I got to make my 13-year-old son wear a mask and deal with frustration and get him all worked up. My son works very hard every day to stay in line, to do his schoolwork, to succeed in his sports. I push him every day. I'm hard on him because he needs it. So now I have to give him another thing to worry about. Another thing to parent. This is insane. When are we going to focus on mental health? When's that going to be? When's that going to start? Because this is, to me, that's the biggest piece of this. The mental health that masks are going to cause. And the damage it's already doing. I guarantee that I see kids here. I guarantee there's kids in here that are struggling with it every day. And they don't know what to do. And what do you, as a parent, somebody have advice for them? Is somebody going to walk them through it? Somebody needs to go to some backbone, stand up, and fight. Because I tell you, I help run a company every day. When that mandate came out, I stood in front of everyone on our operations team. And if I refuse to get that vaccine, and I will not, and if that means I have to lose my job, that is what it is. You cannot let people bully you. It's wrong. We need to stand up. I will stand up all the way through it. You need support, I'm standing right here. And there's many behind me that will. And if you don't like I'm loud, it's because I'm passionate. I care about my kids. I care about this school. I wear this shirt proudly. Everything I do. I've been through this school my entire life. And I am beyond grateful for what you guys have done. But this man on his way out of retirement better needs to stand up and fight for our rights and our children's rights.
All right. Tony, followed by Amelia.
All right, guys. I mean, only the first 500 days of 15 days to flatten the curve are this hard. It gets easier after this, okay? A couple days ago, we got the new Week at a Glance from Mr. Sanger. I don't know if everybody saw that.
Yeah.
There was a quote of the week by Thucydides. I looked it up, and I forgot. Thucydides. A Greek philosopher. You know what he said? He said, the secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage. I don't know if he chose that on purpose, but I've never seen anything more perfect for the times we live in. You know, there are stories all over the place of people taking personal risk to do what's right, to stand by the oath they took. There are people who take an oath to defend and uphold this Constitution and get shot at on a regular basis. There are doctors who take oaths and then go into rooms with people with diseases that could kill them too. There are people all around this. Our own founding fathers would have been taken back to England and drawn and quartered had they lost that war. So I understand you can be sued. I can be sued any day too in my profession. If you don't want to be sued, if you don't want to have that risk, there are other professions. And I'm not saying that I wish that upon anybody on this stage. I really would not want that to happen. But every oath we take, every stand we take, has possible consequences. So You know, there's a story of, some people say it didn't happen, some people say it did, but they say Joseph Stalin was asked by his higher-ups how you can get people to follow you, even if you mistreat them. So he took a chicken. He plucked it alive. The thing was in pain, bleeding, squawking. Then he threw it a little grain, and the thing followed him. Threw him a little more grain and followed him anywhere he went. And he said, people are the same way. You can do anything you want to them as long as you throw them a treat every now and then. Okay? You have to decide where your line is. We've decided where our line is. You have to decide where your line is. Because next it will be testing centers in schools. And it'll just be one more piece of grain. Something will happen to you, or you'll lose some funding, or you could have your own liability if you don't go along with it. So we'll go along a little bit more. So what? He plucked our feathers. And then it'll be vaccine centers in the schools. New line. Well, it's not that far from the last line. Let's go. And then vaccine mandates. And then boosters. And then whatever the hell else they want to do to you. Okay? These kids need peace. They need peace in their lives. They haven't had it in a long time. Malcolm X said, you can't separate peace from freedom, because no one can be at peace unless he has his freedoms. And as far as dealing with this governor and trying to make him just happy enough to stay off your back, I'll tell you what Ron Paul said. I don't know if anyone's ever quoted those two people in the same speech. But Ron Paul said, when one gets in bed with government, one must expect the diseases it spreads. I read an article two days ago, and it didn't even hit me that I was told the same thing a week before that about my own kids. The article said that the Taliban, and I'm serious, this was an article I read 2 days ago, the Taliban has let women and girls know that they can continue to go to school and university so long as they cover their face. Okay? I don't know if you guys remember Malala from Pakistan, the little girl. She stood up to some people who were bigger and badder than Wolf, and she was shot in the face, and she continued to stand. None of us are facing that, I don't think. None of us at this point are facing that. So if we're willing to give in with this small amount of pressure, I wonder what we would do with a gun in our faces like she had to deal with. Okay? What do I have written here? I don't even know what I have written here. Rosa Parks says, people always say that I didn't give up my seat because I was tired. But that isn't true. I was not tired physically, or no more tired than I usually was at the end of a workday. I was not old, although some people have an image of me as being old then. I was 42. No, the only tired I was tired of giving in.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Amelia, followed by Enzo, Bellina.
Bellini. Hi, my name is Amalia Bellini from Brecknock Township, and I'm a junior at Garden Spot High School. For 3 weeks at the end of last school year, I spent my days at Philhaven Day Hospital. I was depressed and suicidal. COVID restrictions seemed like they were never going to end. I felt isolated from the world and anxious, hidden under a mask. Finally, this summer, restrictions were lifted, and I felt hopeful that things were going to get better. Now things are going back to the way they were when I was hidden under that mask. I know that I am not the only one that felt this way. According to a study done by the CDC, suicide rates in teens started increasing in May 2020, and from February to March 2021, emergency room visits were over 50% higher among girls aged 12 to 17 than in the same period in 2019. That's only counting the kids that had severe enough injuries to seek emergency care. It also doesn't count all the teens that suffer in silence, which is why I am speaking today. I am usually too afraid to speak in public, and this is stressful for me. But this has gone too far, and I need to speak up for myself and for those who are in too dark of a place to speak up for themselves.
All right, next, Enzo. Got that one right? Followed by Jalene Knoll.
Hi, my name is Enzo Bellini from Brecknock Township. I am in 10th grade at Garden Spot High School. I began last school year doing Elanco online. I found it difficult to focus and understand the material. Every time I emailed a teacher, I had to wait for a response before I could move on. Sometimes it took 2 to 3 days. I also missed my friends. My grades suffered. I chose to return in-person learning October. I used to get migraine headaches about once a month. They were horrible. I went to Hershey Medical Center in 6th grade and was told that they were migraines. When I started back at school wearing a mask, I got these bad headaches almost every day. I couldn't get much work done at school. Many days I would go home and sleep at the couch for hours until dinner. My dad, who is also my chiropractor, would come home from school and work on my neck and head until I got relief. Then, in the evening, I would start my classwork and catch up on that. Then at night I would get to my school, to my homework. I usually worked until 9 or 10 at night and showered and went right to bed. And now I'm being told that I may have to choose between online learning and that doesn't work for me, or daily headaches that stop me from having a life. I didn't need to go to my pediatrician for the headaches because the doctor at Hershey told me what they were. And thankfully, my dad could help me at home. My family was told that a chiropractor can't fill out my exemption letter because he's only a doctor for some things. Isn't every a doctor only a doctor for certain things? Okay. So, what do you want me to do? Do you really want me to choose? What will you do to me if I show up without a mask to get an education? Do I even care what you'll do to me? Did Rosa Parks even care what they did to her? Rosa Parks was mandated by law to move to the back of the bus. She refused to move seats, knowing there could be consequences. I know the choices I face are wrong. I hope to have the same courage she had. Will you join me and have courage to stand up against the mandate that's not even a law? I learned in history class, in fact, that a law has to go through a state legislature before it can become a law. Thank you for your time!
All right, Jalene Knoll, followed by Rosanna Martin.
Hello, my name is Jalene Knoll. I live in East Earl Township, East Earl. I'm a mother of 4 children, 2 who are currently in Blue Ball Elementary. I'm here to speak on our behalf, but first I want to acknowledge you as board members. I cannot even begin to imagine the pressure that you have all been under, and I feel it is probably safe to say that many of you, if not all of you, wish you were not in this position at all at this time in history. And I genuinely feel for you. and I have prayed many prayers on your behalf for wisdom, guidance, and peace. That being said, we are all here to be heard. Every person in this room is here because we feel it is necessary in order for us to be heard. And we are frustrated because we have raised our voices again and again, but our governor, who we elected, refuses to listen to us. Our state representatives, who we elected, are being shut out and smothered. Now our local representatives, like you, are being bullied and threatened, even on a personal level, and being promised harsh and uncomfortable consequences if you have the audacity to take our side. We are not being heard. We are out of options. What other voice do we have? We can argue the science, data, personal experience, but that is not the point. The point is everybody can hear us, but nobody is listening. They tell us they care so much about us, yet they don't want our opinion. We were all in this together. We all worried for our families. We were worried for our parents and our grandparents, and so we socially distanced, we wore masks, and stayed home. We masked our children for an entire school year. We, as their parents, have seen the effects that it has had on their physical and emotional health. And we are telling you that it is no longer worth it. Bottom line, we complied and we followed the rules that were given to us, but now we are saying enough. It is time that our voices carry some weight in this decision. In November, we voted and our voices were heard. Before the start of the school year, you respected us enough to send a survey and you listened to us. Now, our voices that were heard in November were trampled on and completely disregarded. And now we find ourselves back here. Are you, our local representatives, going to just wave your white flag and allow our voices to continue to be disregarded? We are asking for help. Don't give in to the fear and the intimidation. We are here. We support you, and we will all stand behind you. Just hear us. No matter what comes, and no matter what they take, we will use our voices, and you will hear our voices. But what you do with it is up to you. The question we are asking tonight is not if you hear us, standing here, fighting for our kids. We know that you hear us. The question is, will you stand with us as we fight for our kids? And will you make our voices be heard and take a stand for our community? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Rosanna Martin. I live at 985 Sunset Avenue, New Holland, PA. I actually work here at Garden Spot. I work as a job trainer, and to say I love my job is an understatement. I truly, truly enjoy coming to work every day. I love working with all the students. I can honestly say that I would lay my life down for them. If someone came into the school, they'd have to go through me to get to them. That's how much I love each of the students here. I love people. I deeply care about people. Students and adults alike. So I always struggled talking at a school board meeting because I didn't know the proper protocol, being that I work here. But I decided that I am a mom first above anything else. I'm not trying to debate if COVID is real. I know it is. I know it's a virus, and I know viruses affect everybody different. Just like any other disease, it affects everybody different. So I just have a few points, kind of questions. So why is there a 20-day grace period? If masks work so well, I'm wondering why we have 20 days. Like, does COVID not travel in those 20 days? Like, if they worked so well, wouldn't it have been ASAP the next day? We would have to have masks on? I don't understand that. I also wonder, like, why we heard about it from the governor, and then we came to school 2 days, and then it wasn't put in place until the 7th. Those 2 days, like, did COVID not travel then? I'm confused. I don't know. And so I'm also wondering, by making our children wear a mask, are we breaking the law? Article 1, Section 27 reads, the people have a right to clean air. For a person, adult, or child wearing a mask over their nose and face does not allow them any fresh air into our bodies. So by forcing this mandate, are we breaking the law? I don't know. Question. So we know that the governor has no right to mandate this because there's no state of emergency. So why are we even following this? I'm so confused. So we are telling our students that they have to wear this mask all day long, but yet teachers have a block of prep where they're not wearing a mask. Administrators sit in their office, take off their mask. So, but yet students have to do it all day long. They get to have a break when they eat lunch, but yet administrators can sit in their office and take off their mask. I'm not sure why it's fair that teachers and everyone else, and I don't blame them. I sit at my desk without a mask, but I'm not understanding. They get to sit. They have to wear it all day long. I just don't understand. I don't understand it. Why is it that I asked my doctor to get an exemption? They didn't even ask my name, and they said, ma'am, I'm going to stop you here. WellSpan across the board is not writing any letters. They didn't even ask my name. How is that fair, okay? So I called my pediatrician for our kids' doctors. And I said, hey, can we have an exemption for my kids? And they said, ma'am, I am so sorry. Keep fighting. I agree with everything you're doing, but I don't want to lose everything I worked so hard for. Okay? And you guys are all sitting up here saying that you could be sued. My husband's business was shut down for 8 weeks. He had to lay all of his men off. Okay? For 8 weeks. We could have lost everything. Okay, so we're all hurting. Anyway, so I'm wondering what I am missing. We know it's not about the safety and health of our children because this 20-day grace period, obviously they can get COVID during then. So is it about money? Is it about the school being threatened to lack of funding? Are the teachers being threatened? Obviously they are, to lose their license. Even our president this last weekend, he was taking pictures with his mask pulled below his chin with groups of children. I was confused about that. I was also confused why he leaned down to an elderly person, took off his mask, and started talking to him when they were this close. I guess COVID doesn't pass when you are, a president. I don't know. So I know I'm voicing my anger and frustration towards all of you, and I know that you guys are doing the best that you can. And I honestly, if you feel it's best for your kids to wear a mask, I don't care. I honestly don't care. My family, you are not wearing a mask. We are not getting the shot. Yeah. And I never actually thought I was growing up like peaceful. You don't never bring lawyers into it, but I am so, so sick and tired of this. And I'm telling you right now, my children will not wear masks. They will not be tested. They will not get the vaccination. If they are punished in any way, being brought down to the office, being taken out of school for not wearing a mask, and being told that they have to do remote learning because they don't have a mask, I guess you're going to have to talk to my lawyer. Because we got a great lawyer for my son's college, and he's like, you know what? I'm old. I'm ready. I've made my money. I don't care. He's like, I'll lose everything because I already made my money.
We have the five.
All right. So thank you.
Kathy Chambers. Kathy Chambers. Oh, there she is. Followed by Priscilla Eberle.
President Hollister and members of the school board. I'm Kathy Chambers, a mother of three former Eastern Lancaster County School District students. I am one of we the people that the Constitution affords many and varied freedoms, even the freedom to be unmasked. Behind me, I'm represented by several pastors, parents, fellow Christians, Lancaster County patriots. All of us are part of we the people. I implore you to be men and women of principle, not to be bullied by the threat of being sued, and to stand with us and do what is right, true, and just. Our children's God-given rights are to be free to breathe the oxygen God created for them, as opposed to the toxic carbon dioxide they must breathe when masked. We challenge you to stand firm against those who would take away our children's freedoms. Our sheriff and attorney general will not enforce this unlawful mandate. You don't need to either. To tell you you could be sued, isn't that blackmail? Is that what they're doing to you? Many of our state representatives, because of the current legislative recess, could not counteract the legislation quickly enough to pass countermeasures before the mandate took effect. That was deliberate. Yep. It was devious. But this was the official statement of Barbara Gleam. Oops. She said, the parents and so she's a state representative. The parents and constituents are angry. My offices are overwhelmed with angry calls and emails, and I don't blame them. She declared that it is clear that the administration, the Wolf administration, has not learned that the people of Pennsylvania have already rejected the administration's ability to control from the top down unchecked. She lists several opinions that parents have if they do not want their children subjected to the mandate. And this is what she concluded. This is what our state representative says to us. After a year and a half, I believe that people realize that COVID is here to stay, that there are multiple drugs and ways to reduce the risks now, and that low-risk children shouldn't be the ones we mask unless parents choose for them to be. My message to parents is to do what is best for your kid medically, mentally, and educationally speaking, and do not cave to government mandates that are politically motivated and random in nature. This is what our state representative is telling us to do. Then, Representative Russ Diamond, he said, the first action that must be taken is to be taken by we the people. He urged his dissatisfied constituents to carefully read the exemption section of the governor's mandate and to band together with other like-minded parents in order to take a stand and make their voices heard. So, we are being heard tonight. All those in favor of ignoring this unconstitutional mandate and choosing the God-given right to have our children breathe the oxygen God created for them, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, Priscilla Eberle, followed by Aaron Keene.
Hello, my name is Priscilla Eberle. I have two children in the district.
I live in Piper Hill Road, Stevens, Pennsylvania, and many of you know my background. And I just wanted to say, originally the governor had wanted the legislature to mandate mask, okay, amongst vaccines and other things, which they did not come back in to do that. The other thing I want to say is the money that was decided to go to the schools was determined by the legislature and agreed to be paid out during the budget times. We can obviously look at that. The other thing I want to say as far as legal standing goes, I remember when we dealt with the transgender situation, the idea was to get an outside lawyer's opinion, considering a lot of the lawyers that work for school districts come from the School Board Association or somewhere thereof. As far as legal standing goes, we know that the Senator Pro Tempore and some of the House of Representatives, along with parents and some schools, are currently in a lawsuit to be determined September 16th for this overreach, which we call it an overreach. We did vote to take care of a constitutional, we did a constitutional amendment to take care of the emergency powers. We have an acting secretary who is portraying to have more authority than our governor. So I'm saying I think we have a pretty good base to be able to move forward. The other thing I want to say is it's disgusting that this governor has laid this battle at our kids, that they have to fight it because he doesn't have the nerve to come to us to fight it, and that it's our kids, our elementary kids, kindergarten kids, care, kids that aren't even in school yet. He even went that far. Private school, parochial school, let's just step on everybody, okay? He brings it to them. And then on top of it, he uses each and every one of you and the administration to enforce it so that you guys are the bad guys and are responsible for making our kids feel bad and disciplining them. I feel like you're being used as pawns. And I encourage you to stand up, because what they all said about the vaccine mandates and things going forward, that's true. You either stand at this time, and I believe that a lot of us who would back you as far as an outside lawyer or anything like that, we would love to help you, but I would highly recommend getting outside legal advice. You got Prince Law Firm, you got Eric Winters, you have other folks. If you don't like them, I highly recommend it. I encourage you. I know you're in a challenging situation. I appreciate that you've heard our voice. The governor said from the very beginning it was going to be a local decision. You guys voted that way. We appreciate that, giving people a choice. And it should stay that way. So you have incredible standing because you already made that decision. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Aaron, followed by Julie Zimmerman.
How you doing? Aaron Keene, and just want to let you know that I'm from the New Holland Borough. But under the American Rescue Plan, Eastern Lancaster County School District accepted $179,693 from the federal government as part of accepting the money they were required to file the corrupt CDC guidelines for reopening of school. Basically a bribe, because if it were about their health or safety, the children would be able to breathe instead of breathing their own germs for 7 hours a day. In the district that allows $3,021.62 per student, so that money came from our tax dollars as a bribe to you to choke our children and risk their health so that you benefit. Unfair. Remember, we elected all of you in here to care about and teach our children, not to muzzle them and just comply. Remember, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, then money was thrown, then from our pockets, and look where we are now. The only way we can stop this is to stop complying.
Thank you. Julie, followed by Mark Hames.
My name is Julie Zimmerman. I'm a New Holland resident, and I have two children at this campus. I acknowledge that you have all been in a difficult position trying to navigate how best to move forward since the governor's school mask mandate. I appreciate that your desire was to have a normal school year for our kids without the mitigation efforts of last year. Regarding the mask mandate, on the Lancaster District Attorney's website, it states their guidance to law enforcement was that they will not prosecute any citations for violations of the governor's order. It also states a school's entity is not to restrain, use force, or physically remove teachers, students, staff, or visitors who refuse to comply. The Department of Education website says the school is expected to enforce the mandate by developing a policy, training staff on conflict management, and taking corrective actions for noncompliance.
We, the parents, would like transparency from our school administrators what your policy is for refusal to wear a mask. Do you plan to withhold privileges of staff or students? Do you plan to deny participation in extracurriculars? Are you giving teachers incentives to promote compliance and thereby creating harassment, coercion, duress of those not masked? What are your corrective actions? We would like clear answers to these questions. You do not have to take a knee and comply with the governor's order. You have a choice. Your hands are not tied. A week ago, I emailed every school board member, and only one said that they will continue to fight for our kids. Also on the Department of Education website, they state there's evidence that masks are... Okay, Department of Education website, they state that there is evidence masks are effective, and there's research that supports that mask wearing has no significant adverse health effects for wearers. Just as there are two sides to every story, there's more than a few sources to obtain information from scientists who have done research on the issue, so I beg to differ. It's a myth that masks prevent viruses from spreading. The size of a COVID particle is 0.1 micron. The pore size of a surgical mask is 200 to 1,000 times that size. So wearing a mask to prevent catching COVID is like throwing sand at a chain link fence. It's stupidity to think that wearing masks is a viable mitigation option. There have been hundreds of mass studies related to influenza transmission over several decades. It's a well-established fact that masks do not stop viruses. So why wear masks? They don't work. Statistically, children have a 0% chance of dying from COVID. They're merely a symbol of obedience to tyranny, and it's time we wake up and rise up. I support freedom of choice. If you feel wearing a mask is the right thing to do for yourself or your family, go ahead. But let me be clear, your fear does not have the right to interfere with my life or my child's as a free American and citizen. All right.
Mark, followed by Diana Boone.
All right, well... Mark Hamer from Bowmansville, Brecknock Township. I'm also a pastor here in New Holland at Refuge Calvary Chapel down the street. And I was asked actually by some of the people in our church to come and pray. So I wanted to pray for you. But the first thing I want to share is the last time I was here, when I was driving home, I was kind of trying to process, you know, the whole evening and what I heard. And the Lord really instilled upon me that you guys are not the enemy. But you're our servants that represent us. And so I want to pray with that in mind, but I also want to share some scripture since I have 5 minutes.
The microphone is good to go.
I also want to say I'm very impressed by everybody that's spoken here so far this evening. And good job, especially the students over here. Awesome. I speak every week in front of people, and I haven't been this nervous in 20 years. So this is a pretty charged up room. But I wanted to share a couple scriptures. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So the positions that you're in are because God has allowed you to be in that position. But within the context of the American Constitution, you're in that position to serve we the people. And so we want to pray in accordance with that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. It's my heart, and I think everybody's heart in here, that we want to live in an environment that's quiet and peaceable. And I think the governor's put us in a position where it's made that difficult. And so we want to pray into that as well. Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. As God has put you in these positions to serve we the people, he's called not only us, but he's called you as servants to do that. And it's an interesting thing. If you flip this around and reverse it, it says, walk humbly with your God. How do we walk humbly with our God? First, we have to recognize who we are before a holy God and that we are all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the God, the Bible says. And the only recourse is to turn and put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and his atoning sacrifice on the cross. And when we do that, we have been reconciled before God. That's humility, admitting our sin before a holy God. When we do that, we have the perspective of understanding true mercy that's been extended to us. And so therefore, and this goes for all of us in the room, we are to have attitudes of mercy towards everyone else, taking into consideration how much we've been forgiven, the grace that's been extended to us, and the mercy that's been extended to us by God. Now, as a result of that, we are to act justly. We are to do the right thing before God because God has extended so much to us. We are to do the right thing before God. And so I would encourage you, and I'm not finished. I got another verse, okay? But I would encourage you to take these things into consideration. I know it's a fearful thing. This situation is difficult. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader as well. And, you know, the last year and a half has been, you know, like the Twilight Zone. And we're trying to figure out what's going on and how to navigate through it. So I respect, you know, the difficult situation that you find yourself in. 4 minutes. Gotcha. All right. So, yes, I'm going to pray. But I just want to let you know that I respect where you're coming from. It's a very difficult place to be in. But I would say this. God has not given us a spirit of fear. All right, he's given us, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So if you've done those other things that I talked about, humbling yourself before God, turning and repenting, God will give you the courage and the boldness that you need to move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to do that which is just. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you and as humble people, sinners, Lord, we've all fallen short. And we are thankful for Jesus and his grace and the mercy that he's extended to us. Lord, we pray for these individuals that are serving. Ultimately, they're serving you and they're serving our country. We pray that you give them wisdom, that you give them guidance and direction, a clear mind, that you give them courage to stand up for what is right and what is true and to act justly. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Followed by Chris Rojak, I guess.
All right. My name is Diane Boone, and I live in East Earl Township, New Holland. I have a letter here that was brought to my attention from another school board member in another district, and I'm hoping that this will be some encouragement to you guys because I think it's powerful. I'm a school board director of Butler Area School District. It is important to note that as an individual school director, I have no legal authority outside of majority vote of the collective multi-member school board of school directors on which I serve. Therefore, I believe the best manner I or any other school director can serve with honor is to fulfill our personal responsibility to honor the oath we swore while raising our right hand before God to support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth, and to discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. My basic service on BASD's Board of School Directors has been in a minority position amid significant controversy while fighting to initiate significant change. This fact has served to harden and to make me resolute when standing against the majority board to vote for popular or unpopular opinion for what I believe is right, with the patient persistence initiate positive change. Therefore, it's my intent from making this comment to encourage other school directors or school director candidates, parents, staff members, and the greater community to stand firm in support and defense of our personal freedoms and parental rights and take back our public schools. As you prepare to attend your public school board meetings, let me be very frank and address the threats that have been made by Governor Wolf and the Department of Health and Department of Education. Governor Wolf, through the PA Department of Health's current action under the Disease Prevention Law of 1955, does not have the authority to mandate masking in public schools, and I believe the lawsuit filed on Friday, September 3rd, against the acting secretary will be proving this. The threat against school directors is the loss of sovereign immunity, which is what you read about in your statement, which is their protection against civil action while acting in their official capacity. Sovereign immunity is why politicians continuously lie to the public and pass destructive, unconstitutional legislation without accountability. I personally would welcome Governor Wolf, the PA Department of Health, and/or the PA Department of Education going to court when weakening sovereign immunity. Their success would open the door for myself and many others to prosecute them for their health orders that killed thousands of elderly parents and grandparents in nursing homes because of their unconstitutional shutdowns. Although I'm only one, as a sitting school director, I choose not to be bullied or intimidated and will gladly take on that fight. The threat against superintendents is the revoking of their Department of Education commission, and I believe it is completely wrong for Governor Wolf to threaten and bully superintendents with the loss of their employment and the ability to support themselves and their families for doing what is they believe is right. However, in all reality, a superintendent's decision to stand on what is right concerning masking is no different than what everyone else has faced with, since we're told by the same health experts to comply 15 days to slow the spread. Though completely wrong and unfair, I believe any superintendent that is willing to stand by and or by themselves lend aid to the usurping of the constitutional rights and freedoms of the parents, students, teachers, and staff, and community members they serve does not deserve to maintain a commission. The largest threat against parents and students is Governor Wolf's edicts that public schools are not to respect, accept a student and or staff's right to exercise religious and or medical exemption without certification. This bully tactic often requires parents, students, and staff members to voluntarily relinquish their right to privacy. This action is unconscionable and should be challenged legally at every stance. Ultimately, it will be up to each one of us, individually and collectively, to prayerfully decide whether we will voluntarily comply with the continuing efforts to take away our God-given, constitutionally upheld freedoms and rights, or we will fight to keep them. As for me, I will fight under the call of the following two emphatic statements: Give me liberty or give me death, by Patrick Henry. And most importantly, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua 24:15. So I, Diane, I just read this letter to you. So I, Diane, ask, what are you afraid of? If this board of director and another school district is willing to do what's right and take a stand and fight against Governor Wolf and his mandates, what are you guys afraid of? There's other school districts that are not doing this. They're taking a stand and standing up for what's right. And another parent that I just heard, if you guys do what's right, we the parents, we will back you. We will support you if the government comes after you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Chris, followed by Dave Horst.
The pastors stole most of what I was going to say. But God's honest truth, though, each one of you are here because God chose you to be here at this time, at this moment. He put you in charge for this moment. He's the one that's going to be your saving grace through this. None of us can save you. Governor Wolf can't save you. The government can't save you. None of us can save you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can save each one of us. You can either be a Peter and choose to follow God, or you can be a Judas and sell him out. That's what I'm asking. That's what this is coming down to. Because you're either going to give us freedom, or you're going to let him keep killing us. This mask, again, like the salami statement, it's just one slice at a time. It's taking each individual thing. We'll just do a little bit more. We'll just do a little bit more. And they're going to kill us. You've been here. You've been placed here by God to keep us safe, to keep our kids safe, to give us a good education, to further us, to make us great U.S. citizens. We had pride in this nation. We had pride because God was the one that gave it to us. Amen. He was the one that gave us everything that we have here. He was the one that freed us from England. He was the one that gave us everything. He's the one that gives us and sustains us. I want to pray with you real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, each one of these people on this board is faced with some heavy challenges. But just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you led them through the fire. They didn't even get burned. They didn't even get singed. Lord, we just thank you and we just praise you for everything that you can do. Lord, we know that there's no places that you can't reach and that you can't touch. Lord, we just thank you that you know each one of our kids and that you keep them safe. And Lord, we put our faith and our trust into you. We ask this for your honor and your glory. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Dave.
Good evening, board. Dave Horst, 1186 East Earl Road. This past weekend, one of my grandsons played in a baseball tournament up at E-Town, and I saw something that literally broke my heart. We were in the playground with two of our young grandsons, and there was another young man and lady with their little boy, probably 5 years old, plus or minus a year. Nobody, even the parents, had masks on. That little boy had a mask on. Anytime somebody, and it didn't matter if it was an adult, a child, if he was playing on a playground equipment and somebody got from me to you, Tom, away from him, he ran to his dad. That boy saw everybody that was not his mother or father as a threat. As a threat. That is a crime. Governor Wolf supposedly had a survey done in the first 2 weeks of school by the Greater Atlantic School System. In the Greater Atlantic School System. Has anybody ever heard of that? That school system? Huh? Okay. Nobody ever heard of it. Okay. They found out in the first 2 weeks of school that they did a study on schools that mandated masks and schools that didn't, supposedly, that there was a significant difference in positive COVID testing. Obviously, the unmasked schools were worse. Here's the only problem with that. COVID, the problem with that is COVID takes 2 weeks to incubate, right? You get, if you're around somebody, you have to wait 2 weeks to make sure you don't get it, okay? So their test was a two-week period, the first 2 weeks of school, okay? And that makes it completely null and void because it takes 2 weeks to incubate. So you know the whole thing's a lie. The guy's a liar. And he uses manipulation and control. Okay. I wanted to say, Justin, you did an excellent job in reading. I don't know how you did that. I mean, literally, that was incredible. My hat's off to you. But I just want to encourage you guys and girls. We'll be behind you. I was sitting here thinking, we're all saying we'll be behind you. And I'm going to say this. I hope I'm not making a mistake. But they do GoFundMe pages for everything. How many people in here, if we actually started a page, how many people would contribute to a GoFundMe in case the board gets sued? How much money do you need? Seriously, I'm not being stupid here. You saw the hands. If you need $200,000, I bet. If we did a GoFundMe, you'd have it in 3 days. I bet you would. You saw the hands. We will put our money where our mouths are. We'll put our money where our mouths are. We have, like many people say tonight, we have to draw the line somewhere. Thank you, Justin. All right. We have to draw the line somewhere. And we want to stand with you. Give us the opportunity to. Next week, let us know the number. Talk about it. Let us know the number. And we'll see if we can't get it for you. All right? Thank you for your time. Right.
Thank you, Dave. Brian, you want to read something?
All right, so President Wenzel, Dr. Hollister, and the board, I did review, it was specifically policy 903. I also checked title 65, which is also referenced in there, also references policy 006. And for all those who know me, I do talk about policy a lot to read policy. Two things I'll say first. In that policy that you, sir, mentioned, 903, are two things specifically that I want to mention before I say about specifically you speaking. In there, it says at the end, request any individual to leave a meeting when that person does not observe reasonable decorum. There's another spot in there where it also says, and this is Mr. President Wenzel that could do this, that call a recess and an adjournment at another time when the lack of public decorum interferes with the orderly conduct of a meeting. And this is a meeting. With that said, I do think that there is ambiguity within the policy in allowing you to speak based on, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we understand that you pay tax at LS, which then inadvertently comes to us. I think that's a lot of ambiguity, and what I will do personally, we'll discuss with Dr. Hollister and Mr. Wenzel after this, that you would maybe, again, depending on what we're able to find out, whether that would be something we could do next week. But tonight, I could not recommend that allowing you to speak to set precedent for other things in the future that we would not, as a community, potentially want. So I can appreciate you doing that, but I did everything I can to looking up through the policy and the titles that are there, and we'll do whatever I can with them to discuss with that. And after the meeting, if you want to give me your name and number, somebody will get back to you with that answer.
Do you find that acceptable?
That is definitely acceptable to me if you guys will consider.
Because I'm sure a lot of you will be back next week also, so you know that would be the same. Vice President brought a thing to my attention. I appreciate your good intentions to back us up, but we cannot accept money of that kind. But thank you anyway.
He and his nonverbal sons have right to have his day to be heard too through his father.
What's that again?
Is there any?
We'd have to research it. We'd have to research it. I don't want to go into it.
I'm more worried about the kid than the man.
Okay, I got you. All right, I got that. Yeah.
Spoken for, the kid should be spoken.
Okay. Well, we'll get to either somewhere. Get her name, your name and number, and we'll research that more to next week, and somebody will let you know in a short amount of time. Thank you. All right, that concludes citizens' comments. I thank you, and obviously there's a lot of emotion in here tonight that we were all and appreciate everybody venting at us, and I apologize for venting at you a little bit. You got to see the other side of me a little bit sometimes. Comes out every once in a while. But I do appreciate everything that was discussed here tonight. And we will move on with... by the way, are there any board members or administration that would like to make any comments before I move on to the personnel report? All right. Didn't think so.
Are the ham sandwiches coming back?
Thank you, John. You're glad we got our humor here yet tonight. All right, on a serious side, moving on to the personnel report, Nadine.
Could we have any other comments?
No, if you didn't fill out a card, come back next week.
You opened it up the last 2 weeks.
And that was a mistake on my part, and there was a clearly stated out there that if you want... and. Please, like I said earlier, if you can fill out a card and do not wish to speak, that would be the way to go. So. Okay, well, bring them back next week. All right, Nadine.
There's nothing special about the personnel report. We have a few new people that we're hiring and some that are leaving, but they're moving on to better opportunities for them.
All right, do I have a motion to approve the personnel report?
So moved.
Then it properly moves. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Personnel report approved. Property and services, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. I have two items for approval next week. The first one is approval of the HVAC retrofit project at the New Hall Elementary School. We did replace a chiller last year. We are now looking at replacing the hair handlers that are on the roof and some other pieces of the equipment that have been giving us some trouble and have been extensive. We've made some extensive repairs to them. Our hope is that this will definitely extend the life of the units, and we're looking at extending it beyond 10 years. So help us get it through.
Excuse me, can I interrupt real quick? I am having a hard time understanding everything you're saying.
Yes,
could
we just keep, if you want to talk, please leave the room.
You're welcome to talk out of the hallway.
Temporarily and come back in.
I appreciate it. Sorry.
No, that's fine, John. That's fine. Go and continue, Mr. Ramsey.
Okay. I'll just kind of jump back in so Mr. Dahl can hear and what he may have missed. I have two action items for next week. The first one will be the approval of the HVAC retrofit project at the New Holland Elementary School. We did replace the chiller on the roof last school year. We're now looking to replace approximately 18 air handlers on the roof that are outside in the weather and have gotten to a point of disrepair, if you will. And we're also looking to replace some other pieces of the system that has been giving us trouble. Our hope is to extend the life of the complete HVAC system beyond 10 years with this retrofit, and it will also minimize having to shut down the building due to certain failures of the system itself. So, again, we're looking to have that approved, that project. It's approximately a $2 million project, and it would come out of our capital improvement fund as part of our capital improvement plan. Any questions on that at all?
And that would be something that would perhaps next summer or something like that?
Yeah, our plan is to work with the engineers. We are looking to actually go through a CoStars program. We're looking at three different vendors to submit proposals. We're also looking at three different types of equipment, like carrier, train, and we're also looking to like I said, get three proposals through that project, because as you saw with the turf project, the CoStars does give us a lot more flexibility in getting who we want. So by having three individual companies bid on it, we'll ultimately get the best prices possible through that project. We are looking to have that done in November of this year, and hopefully to award it in December. So it gives ample lead time to get the equipment to start this summer, this coming summer. Any other questions? Okay, hearing none. The next item, this is the final list of the bus drivers and bus assistants. You had a partial list in September. We have received all the information, background information, all the credentials for all of our contractors. So this is a complete and final list that will be approved next Monday night. And that ends my report, Mr. President.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Are there any questions for Mr. Ramsey? All right. Hearing none, moving on to program. Dr. Larkin.
Yes, I have two action items for next week. The first one is the approval of affidavits of guardianship. This is a routine approval that we do whenever we have new affidavits and at the beginning of the school year. So you have access to those. Any questions? Okay. My second action item is the approval of partial waiver for special education services. This is something that is new this year. These learners' parents have chosen online EOL and do not want to have their children here in the district buildings. And so some of the services that are on their IEPs cannot be met. And we are required to do a partial waiver to modify that IEP, and it needs to be board approved. There's no financial change for us. It doesn't cost us anything, but we do need to provide a waiver for those services. Any questions about that? Okay, and then I have one information item for policy 109, resources and materials. I just wanted to update the board that our team of the tech integrators and librarians are working on developing a system for curating the resources that have been in our buildings. That's usually focused mostly on the library materials, but we're also trying to look at integrating the software and other programs. And so just wanted to bring you up to speed that we are continuing to work on that based on our discussions over the summer, and we should have something by the October meetings. Any other questions?
Thank you, Dr. Larkin. Any further questions? All right. Moving on to management, Dr. Hollister.
Thank you, Mr. Wenzel. First thing we have is the annual election of PSBA officers that you will need to do. Justin, clarification for me, that needs to be a consensus of the board. It's not an individual vote, correct?
That is correct.
And does that need to be done this evening, or do they have till next week?
They have till next week.
Okay, so we need to decide who those officers will be for PSBA, and then someone would need to make a recommendation next week, followed by a second and an action by the board. So you can talk, you can evaluate what they have there. Someone just needs to make a recommendation next week. Mr. Irvin.
And if you would like, I will give the board the recommendation of our local officer. And if they would like, they can follow her recommendation, which has worked well in the past.
Yeah, I was going to ask for that, Paul. You've done that in the past, please.
I will. I'll have that for you next week.
Thank you.
Next item I have is a change in the calendar. This was my error. Every year I look out for this. And, of course, with all the changes in the calendar and the additional early dismissal days, I omitted. We typically have an early dismissal the day of the fair. And so I'd like to add that to the calendar for October 1st. So it would be a normal early dismissal. We have our students who take advantage of it, but we also have students who actually have to man booths and do some things at the fair. So I would recommend to the board that we add an early dismissal day on October 1st. And I'd like to take action on that this evening so that folks can plan around accordingly.
So moved.
Moved. Is there a second? Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll publish that immediately. The next thing I have is the 7B is the health and safety plan and questions that the board may have about that plan and any discussion items that you wish to have.
A couple of things, I guess. First, Mr. Wenzel, I'm not sure that I just want to make it on record, at least for myself. I don't want to speak for the rest of the board that the statement at the beginning was not something that I necessarily fully agreed with.
I thought about that after I read that. Yeah, it was Vice President Buck and I thought it'd be good to clear up some things that were being thrown around last week.
Absolutely.
If I said anything correct, if you like to correct anything I said,
The only thing I would say, Tom, is that not that whether I agreed or disagreed, but it was not necessarily a statement from the board.
Absolutely.
Okay. So. That's duly noted. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Apologies.
That's good. No, that's good. With that said, while I do have a statement just to mention, at least, while I do not contend right now that Section 504 regarding doctor signatures is not there. However, I do think that when I was reviewing Section 504, it is for children with disabilities, and it does not apply to all students, the average healthy individual, and therefore we are, I believe, misusing Section 504. For this reason, I am not in favor right now of the current process that we have for these exemptions. We have also mentioned and talked about Title 22, Chapter 15, the protected handicapped students. Again, here I would contend that this is a misuse of this particular title, and we should not be following this. According to the Department of Education, the implementation of Title 22 of Chapter 15, and you can go through the purpose of what this is, but very specific without long and drawn out conversation, it is specific to handicapped students. The handicapped students, in fact, then need IEPs. And so I'm asking the administration, are we doing an IEP for every student? And if not, why, based on these two sections and titles? In addition, we have been using the words exemption. I've heard it many times tonight, and that's not what the order states. I'm not a linguistic. However, it is using the word exception. There are two words. I'm sure there's a difference of why one is being used in the order and why one is being used in our information that is being given. I would like some clarification on that. And such exceptions to the order itself did not ask for a doctor's signature. In fact, it doesn't even give guidance to a process or procedure for such exceptions. And therefore, I would say that we are the ones that need to do this. Also, the order speaks about these exceptions in Section 3, where it clearly states if wearing a face covering would either cause a medical condition, not that you have one, which is what I believe we're asking from the parents. I do think that there is reason for sometimes to ask specific reasons, as the woman in the verse spoke, has reasons for that specific reason. This is not that we have asked for information. We are asking information so that we may evaluate all available evidence for such a medical condition. In Section 3 and Letter 8, it also states, and we haven't really talked about this, that if wearing, this is the exact thing it says, I quote, if wearing a face covering while working would create an unsafe condition in which to operate equipment or execute a task as determined by local, state, or federal regulators or workplace safety guidelines, this board is the local regulator, from my understanding, and therefore we have the ability to do this determination as an exception. And it is for this reason that, yes, I would make a motion that we keep our health and safety plan as it was elected and approved on by our vote.
All right. Did all the board hear his motion?
I'll second.
We have a second. Any further discussion?
Yeah, Dr. Hollister, Dr. Larkin, I don't know if you can help speak into this a little bit. There was a lot of comments from the community tonight stating that when it comes to the doctor's signature, that a lot of doctors wouldn't even sign it. Do you know how many we've received in the district approximately of actual doctor signatures?
I don't have that, Gary. Hold on. Dr. Larkin, do you have it?
This is just quickly looking at this. I can't guarantee I have everybody's name. At this point, we have five at Brecknock who've received, who've given us information with a provider's information as well that we can talk with. I'm sorry, that was Blue Ball. At Brecknock, we have one that has given us something with a doctor. At the high school, we're just beginning to look at those, so I can't give you an update on that.
Nothing at the middle school?
Same as at the middle school. We've received them, but we haven't started looking at whether they have information.
Okay.
And we have two at New Holland.
Okay. I have concerns because when we looked at this, the way we were doing things is that we were under the assumption that doctors would be compliant and help out the parents a little bit. And so I do feel like if that is true, and I have heard that from a number of people, and I've spoken to doctors who say they wouldn't sign them. That does make me feel like we've been pushed in a corner again. And so that is concerning to me. Also, I wanted to say something really quickly too. Dr. Hollister, maybe you can correct me. I don't believe that. I know the initial letter that went out, it said one thing, but I think we did rescind the part that says we have access to medical information.
Yeah, so we did update that process a little bit midweek. We added some categories of providers and also clarified that we were only looking for medical records germane to the actual mask, so that reduced the medical record search. And then the third thing we did is we did verify that only the school nurses see that information. There were thoughts that that information was widely published, and that's not true. It's confidential information. It's HIPAA information, so only the nurses would see that information. They were the three qualifiers that we added.
Okay. So what I'm wondering here, and I'm just, again, for Brian and I don't think you're allowed to. I'm sorry. I would love to talk to you afterwards. I think from my understanding, I lost my train of thought. It's really profound. Just ask my wife. My one concern is, Brian, if we just completely go with the health and safety plan as originally was, my understanding is that a lot of us on the board were okay with our idea of, like, if we allow giving the parents the choice of deciding whether or not for themselves if they wanted to make their child exempt because of I've spoken to a number of parents and I have people very close to me who are concerned about their children and their health with wearing masks because of what it did to some of their siblings last year and the physical things that happened. So what I'm trying to figure out is, I'm not necessarily saying we have to rescind what you're saying, but I'm wondering if there is a medium place there in the middle where we stick with the plan, but we allow for the exemption letters from parents if they're not able to get the doctor's signature. Again, I'm speaking out loud here and just...
Yeah. So, Gary, I think I just want some clarity on your statement. But our original health and safety plan did not require an exception.
Correct.
For the so the middle ground you're suggesting is that we stick with the modified plan that we've already that we're currently utilizing, but not require
a doctor's signature.
A doctor's signature for an exception,
and allow the parents to write their own exemption letter.
I don't know what the difference would be then, since we're saying it's the parents and the family's choice. If we've already said that in the original health and safety plan, and we're suggesting that the
I'll speak to it. I mean, and yeah. Gary, it's a great point, and I do think that I think there would be a middle ground if we were to actually use the wording that is in the exceptions, stating that if wearing a face covering would either cause a medical condition, so something to the effect, again, me not necessarily being eloquent all the time, but that if I'm doing this for my child, I believe that a face covering would cause my son or daughter XYZ a medical condition and therefore would request my exception to this order and then signature by parent. I think that's all we need to follow the actual order that's out there. And so, yes, if we could modify this, it's the 504, it's the Title 22 mm-hmm. thing, all of that I think needs to be gone.
I agree. I do think it's wildly up to interpretation. So
if we could modify that, then I would have no problem with that and allowing it to be very verbatim to what the order is asking for exceptions.
So are you modifying the motion?
And in that vein, just for clarity, then you're saying the exception or exemption process, whichever word we're using, mm-hmm. There would be no interpretation necessary. Is that what you're
Correct.
Suggesting?
Correct.
The parent requests it would be granted.
Correct. If the parent is signing that as a taking us out of it, right? The parent is looking at the order, taking the exception that this can cause a medical condition. I'm signing it as a parent, and we're good.
So you're basically saying, that it's you need to wear a mask unless the parent says you don't have to.
Correct.
Okay.
Any further comments? Would the administration like to comment on that?
Yeah, I would. All due respect, folks, I disagree with you. I really think I think our learners should be wearing masks. I think it's probably healthier for everyone.
So, hey! Show respect. Please.
I listen to you guys, so I'm just telling you what I think based on what I've read. And so I'm recommending that.
Please.
Stop.
We've allowed everyone to make comments. Okay. If we could just continue with the meeting, please. Dr. Hollister.
Continue.
Finish.
Any other further comments? All right, we'll have a roll call vote.
So this is on the original, unless, Brian, are you rescinding the original one, or you want to vote for what you said before?
If we would be able to, I can...
Make sure you know what you're voting on.
That's good.
Yeah, clarify that, because...
Again, some of this process, I guess, Dr. Hollister, will have to be discussed on how to get this, I guess, for next week or however, since we have another week for this. I'll rescind the original motion, and I'll make a motion that the exception letter should read simply, I believe that a face covering would cause my son or daughter a medical condition and therefore will not be wearing a face covering at school, and have that signed by the parents and submitted to the administration of their school, and then everything would be fine.
Second.
It's been moved and properly moved and seconded. Any discussion on this motion?
I do have a comment. I do think that we're simply trying to dance around the verbiage inside of the mandate. And I would suggest that all we've really done is create sort of a tracking nightmare that someone now has to go through and suggest that we have these. I would like to stick with the original mandate, or excuse me, the original motion that you made that would suggest we follow our original health and safety plan, which does not require an exemption whatsoever. It just simply requires that you make your own personal choice.
Just to clarify on motion stuff here, just to clarify, if I just want to modify this motion, or do I need to rescind it just because it is completely different?
Brian, you should rescind.
Okay. That's fine.
Because you'll get hung up legally if you don't.
Well,
do that.
Yeah, no, that's why I appreciate that, Dr. Hollister. With that, just since we're in discussion right now of this anyway, I mean, is this, and is anybody else in discussion on this, would, as far as having an actual signature of sorts that parents want? I mean, just to kind of, we have an open discussion rather than going back and forth.
Sure. I mean, I feel more comfortable with the parents signing off on it, and I understand that that would be more work in some ways, but
I agree.
I feel like that the other way, you know, I understand we're trying to dance around things, but that's the position we've been put into, and I feel like that I don't know who would complain about that part as far as wanting to have that, those protecting your freedoms, but I don't feel completely comfortable throwing the whole thing out the window.
I mean, the only thing I thought of, Brian, was that it's like a permission slip. I mean, in essence, right? I mean, that's kind of what it is. So I would think that we do permission slips for other things, that the process or tracking of that wouldn't be too terribly taxing to have that. So that's why. And again, still giving.
Folks, I'm sorry to interrupt. You should do what you want to do. We'll figure out what we have to do on our end. So, you know, don't worry about us at this point. Do what you feel you need to do.
Well, I guess I thought we had to have some way to track it for auditing purposes. Is that not correct? No. In case we get audited by this, was that not something I thought that's why we were doing the 504 plans, was to keep track.
Yeah, we're going to keep track. Now, I do, just because I brought this up and we did this, Dr. Hollister or Dr. Larkin, would the health and safety plan, if the motion that is on the floor right now, that is more of a, I'm going to use the word permission slip of sorts, from a parent to excuse their son or daughter for a potential medical condition, would that affect the health and safety plan? We would have to go back at all to revisit that. I'm just trying to not give us more work to have to come back and redo, since that health and safety plan is out there.
That is a change in the currently approved health and safety plan.
Right.
So you can simply take action to change the plan, which would be the motion you would make.
Yeah.
That would be the cleanest way to do it, I think.
Yeah. So I think then in that light, I would like to again rescind that motion and make the motion.
We've already been here for a few hours. Just take the time to
that's right.
To get it right.
Three strikes, you're out.
That we continue to use the pre-approved health and safety plan with making certain modifications to allow for an exception permission slip to be granted by parents.
Second.
So what are the scenarios there where
properly you're moved and second, any discussion?
Yeah, discussion. Yeah. So I'm looking at that from a point of, yes, the health and safety plan I think allows for the options that are there. However, I do think having a parental or guardianship of some kind, a signature for their child, who the child is not an adult, to take ownership of that, a parent needs to sign something saying, I believe medically my son or daughter should not wear a mask.
Correct.
And so I don't think that we can do that just right now with the order. I think we're covered by the order and allowing us to make this decision to say, yes, the parents have it, but it's not just an optional conch planche, as somebody said earlier, but that we're allowing the parents to make those signatures there. And I think if we put that, Dr. Hollis, if I understand you correct, if we put that into the health and safety plan that way, then we have the health and safety plan changed and approved, coming with the backup of, yes, we have a signature there.
I think one of my primary concerns, beyond what I've already stated, is that this, again, would put the responsibility on the administration, the teacher, yes, somebody inside the building, to police, so to speak, whether or not a person has gotten assigned exception. I think that that's still a family matter. So.
Hey, stop, please.
We're trying to have a discussion.
Let's go the opposite. I think that is a concern because I think, and I'll even say, there's several people in this room who have said if there's any way their child is tagged or spoken to, they will sue us. So I am concerned on how we're going to patrol this, of who's getting signed or not, and mostly because the same people who would like us to give them that privilege are also the same ones who are going to make it. Like, I'm not really sure how we're going to keep track of which kid is which without violating everything everyone's upset about.
But that's not the board's work.
Right, but we're giving an impossible test.
No, we're not.
Why?
It's no more than what they're doing now with the doctors. I mean, in reality.
I don't know that they would.
Okay, people, can you stop interrupting?
Please.
I mean,
does our health and safety plan right now say it has to be signed by a doctor? I know we talked about it. I just didn't remember if it was, like, actually in there.
No, it's not. No.
Our health and safety plan
is not in the plan.
So So I'll make this somewhat, I hope, easier. I hope. Considering we have a meeting next week as well, I will rescind that one again and leave it as making a motion to continue to use the already pre-approved and voted on Elanco Health and Safety Plan with no modifications.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Can we just, like, reiterate what that specifically says?
it's the one we originally did.
The one before. We originally did.
It's how we started the school year.
Masks
optional. It's how we started the school year, Dina.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just too many things floating around.
Okay. If I could just have a piece of clarity, did the health and safety plan also apply for staff and faculty, or was it separated? Meaning, do staff and faculty have essentially masks optional as well?
Correct.
That's the way we did the health and safety plan. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted clarity before I voted. Thank you.
All right. Any further discussion? Are you ready to vote? All right. Like I said, roll call vote.
Mr. Buck.
No.
Mr. Conroy.
Yes.
Mr. Dahl.
No.
Mr. Irvine.
No.
Mrs. Geyer.
No.
Mrs. Mayo.
Yes.
Mr. McCarroll.
Yes.
Mr. Naranjo.
Yes.
Mr. Wenzel.
No.
The motion stands 4 ayes, 5 nays. Motion is not approved.
Mr. President, I would like to make a motion to modify to one of Brian's 17 other motions to allow a parent signature to exempt them from the mask mandate, whatever. It's not properly worded. Can we use one of Brian's motions that he's made prior?
Second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Any further discussion? And could we have a little clarity on that?
Sorry, that was terrible.
That's fine. That's fine.
My motion is to allow parents to make the choice.
And then sign off on it.
And sign off on it.
Okay.
For anyone on property.
All right.
So you're saying the teachers can not have to wear it. They just
obviously,
have to
if you're
sign
18,
a thing
you sign
saying,
yourself, correct.
Yeah.
If you're over 18, okay. You sign yourself.
All right. We all clear on that?
Yes.
I just have a
Any
question.
Other discussion?
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. So then what impact would that have in regards to the governor's or Department of Health's current mandate that anyone else entering the building for other events, after hours, meetings, et cetera, is required to wear a mask? Are we like passing them out at volleyball games and saying you have to sign one of these when you come in? Or
sporting goods or sporting
events? For exactly.
Yeah, they're not included.
Only for indoor sporting events, if I recall.
No, for spectators.
Indoor sporting events, spectators are asked to put on masks.
Right,
that is
correct. That's what I'm asking.
So but not athletes. To Dr. Hollister's point, and very, I appreciate the way you said that, Dr. Hollister. I think it's, again, we're going to ask them to do that, but following the guidelines, if I understand that correctly, Dr. Hollister, it's not that we are policing this.
Correct.
Or physically doing anything or kicking people out. If I understand that, I mean, again, it would be a matter of how they're acting, and if they're acting in such a way that we need to because of that reason. But if the mask is given and they don't do anything based on the order, again, what we should not be doing, I would say. Is that correct how I read that?
I would caution the board that, to my knowledge, all the other school districts are requiring masks of spectators, and I don't know what that kind of jeopardy that would put our teams in. And you'll be wearing them at away contests for sure. You won't be allowed to come in.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's also something we could tackle as we get closer. I mean, hopefully it won't be an issue by that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an issue now. We have indoor sports right now.
I was not aware.
We have a motion on the table, right?
Yeah. All right. Any more discussion on this motion?
Could we look at – I feel like we just kind of need to make a motion for the students. As far as spectators, adults, I feel like the teachers, unfortunately or fortunately, they need to abide by PD. I mean, they have the right to kind of work somewhere else. I hate to say that, but the students have to be in school. Excuse me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sorry, this audience is tough.
Let's just keep the comments down.
I'm just asking if we can make sure the kids are protected.
Come on, let's keep quiet. Leave her a chance to speak.
I thought maybe we could get the parent signature for children, but what we're saying tonight, not maybe we can address this in another motion, not necessarily apply to the adults and the teachers and all of that, because right now we're just talking about the students and that the parents need permission to sign off that they don't wear a mask. I'm not sure what the...
Just for clarity, that'd be a separate motion, and I do not retract my motion.
Oh, sorry.
What's that, John?
What she's requesting would require a separate motion or an edit to mine, and I'm not going to modify my motion. Okay. It applies for anyone on property.
All right. You got that, Justin?
Mr. Dahl, could you clarify the language of your motion? Because right now I just have it as allowing parents to make a choice and sign off on it, and this applies to anyone on the property. I think we need to clarify the language about
sure.
What you mean by that.
And that,
Sorry, Mr. President.
I was going to say it raises a concern with sports of how we would have some language in there to cover visiting teams that are coming to play at our school, they have a totally different approach at their school.
And they may not come, and that would punish our students.
That's where, is that not the same, though, when we're going there, right? I mean, this is our school, this is how we're doing it, you're doing it with your school, we're doing it, and I understand as far as what it could potentially have.
I'm just raising the point.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like reverse to me is sort of there, too. So, like, if we go there, our students or our families may have to wear a mask.
But the athletes wouldn't.
Well, the athletes would. But to be fair, they're not required to wear masks now, so that would be all optional at the moment anyways.
Right.
Athletes currently under the mandate are not required to wear masks indoors or outdoors.
Okay. So. All right. You clear, Justin? I think I am.
Yes, I'm sorry. Just as the board secretary, I just want to make sure that legally, like the language, I'm sorry if you mistook what I meant. I think you need to clarify that parents can make a choice regarding mask wear, like the language, so that it's clear in the minutes, so that people understand what your motion is for, and it just not is make a choice about anything.
Fair enough. Sorry. I'm going to retract my motion and allow Mr. Conroy to word it the way he had it last time.
Something stronger than water.
He had it worded so much nicer than I did, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Justin, I'd like to make a motion that in an attempt to continue to abide by the exceptions that are allowed within the Department of Health mandate, that we give parents the ability to sign off on or make requests under their signature alone whether or not their learner needs an exception to the mandate.
Thank you. I second that one.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? What happens? Now, there's obviously some parents that aren't together. What if one parent sides one way and another parent sides the other? I don't want to throw a monkey in the wrench, but what happens then?
I
just wanted to be clear, and it just came to mind because there are, you know, because it goes into disputes sometimes between all right. Any other questions? All right, we want to try for another roll call vote.
Their signature is the request. That's the exemption.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Buck?
Yes.
Mr. Conroy?
Yes.
Mr. Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. Irvine?
Yes.
Mrs. Geyer?
Yes.
Mrs. Mayo?
Yes.
Mr. McCarroll?
Yes.
Mr. Naranjo?
Yes.
Mr. Wenzel?
Yes.
9 yeses, no nays. The motion has been passed.
Yes! All right.
Mr. President.
All right.
Mr. President, I'd just like to make a comment.
Yes, go ahead. By all means, John. Yes.
It is wildly inappropriate to say Dr. Hollister is doing child abuse to whoever said that. He has dedicated his life to this.
Don't.
So please be careful with your words. We are all humans. We just, even if they disagree or someone disagrees, you still have to show respect.
Yes.
So that's all I'm asking.
And I would.
You're absolutely right. I'm not talking about. Apologies. I shouldn't address the audience.
Please allow John to speak. That's my mistake. Go ahead, John.
we as a country need to do better. And I know it's a broader issue, well beyond our scope. But when I heard that, it ticked me off. Because I know Dr. Hollister, just because he disagrees with the board does not make him a bad person. Mm-hmm. He's a good human.
That's right. And Mr. Wenzel?
I was going to say, we used to be able to agree to disagree in this country about things. Yeah. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Cohen.
No, also, just because, Dr. Hollister, I know you have mentioned a few times when your staff gets attacked, it's personal in a certain way because it is your staff. But personally, I will say, and I understand to the woman who spoke towards her experience with the nurses, but these nurses do a lot. I mean,
absolutely.
And we've had nurses that come up and even spoke tonight. They understand the pressure that they are in. And so I just want to say to your staff of nurses, Dr. Hollister, that they do a phenomenal job. And I know that they have been put in a very hard spot. And they're just doing what us as a board or you have directed them to do. So I appreciate that as well.
And I know many of you had inner conversations with the dean also. She's also carried a lot of things. And Kara Martin, there's other members of the staff.
Absolutely.
That aren't present. Obviously, Karen's not here. She's online tonight. But they've all felt the stress of this and continues. And we'll see where it ends. All right. Any other things, Dr. Hollister?
I'll look into that pretzel and ham and cheese sandwich thing. Appreciate that. No promises.
Yeah. All right. There's one other announcement I have. There's a need for the board to have an executive session to deal with a legal issue, not pertaining to anything that happened tonight. I want to make that clear. Oh yes, yes. We had an executive session on Monday night to discuss. What was that about?
That was legal. Also.
That was also legal. Yes, with the mayor. Yes. All right. Any other board members like to make any announcements? All right. Hearing none. Do I have a motion to close the meeting? The move is our second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I don't think there are no's.
You need more, let me know. You can take it back.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
We'll go over to the